using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Monday, the 15th of November, year of our Lord 2021, day 609 of the emergency. Well, today we have a mixed bag as we have Austria becoming the first country to lock down millions of people, only the unvaccinated, for this pharmaceutical takeover. We also have some major wins in terms of the Oklahoma National Guard. The commanding officer there has stood up to this. We have court decisions. We have CEOs of corporations standing up to this. As RFK Jr. said, this is the hill we die on. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I want to begin with a message from a man, Michael Granada. He said, many nurses and non-nursing staff begged me and my wife to get the truth out to the public about the COVID vaccines. Because of the truth of deaths from the vaccines was being hidden within the medical profession, I promised I would get the message out. So here is my message. I was afraid of getting the vaccine for fear that I might die. At the insistence of my doctor, I gave in to pressure to get vaccinated. On October the 17th, I received the Moderna vaccine, and I started feeling ill 3 days later. I never recovered, but continued to get worse. I developed multi-system inflammation, multi-system failure, that medical professionals could not stop. My muscles disappeared, as if to disintegrate. I was in ICU for several weeks and stabbed with needles up to 24 times a day for those several weeks, while also receiving 6 or 7 IVs at the same time, continuously. It was constant torture that I cannot describe. I was no longer treated as a human being with feelings and a life. I was nothing more than a COVID vaccine human guinea pig, and the doctors excited to participate in my fascinating progression to death. If you want to know more, please ask my wife. I wish I had never gotten vaccinated. His wife said he did not deserve the pain and suffering he endured. He was a good man. He deserved better. When we look at what is happening with this, there's absolutely no accountability, absolutely no concern. As he pointed out, they're fascinated with the progression, or they're afraid that this will be something that will incriminate them as well. This has gone on so long that there is no excuse anymore. There is no excuse for the complicity of the medical profession. There is no excuse for the purging of people who are real doctors, who have real ethics and have real concerns for their patients. There's absolutely no justification for any of this. And one of the things that is the most glaring red flag, I don't know how many red flags you need, is that their hell-bent obsession on getting everybody vaccinated no matter what. Is it the fact that they will defend anything the pharmaceutical companies do, hold them harmless against anything, whether it is their design or whether it is negligence or whether it is criminal fraud or whether they are murdering people, they will be held harmless. Is that not a red flag for you? And we're not even getting into the ethics of this cannibal medicine. Just those things right there, the fact that they will purge anybody. Out of any news organization, they'll purge anybody out of any social media. They're firing doctors left and right who are helping patients. This is not just medically incentivized malpractice. This is medically incentivized mass murder. Financially incentivized is what I meant to say. So I want to take a look at another big red flag. And, of course, this is the massive numbers of professional sports players and young people, which they cannot explain away. It's easy for them to explain away somebody like Franklin Graham, who's in his 70s, early 70s, I think. He gets pericarditis after being vaccinated. He's a big vaccine cheerleader. He thinks it's a miracle from God. Well, not the God that I worship. When he comes down with pericarditis, they just chalk it up to his age and comorbidities. And there's no way that you can prove that one way or the other. But when they have young people that this is happening to, and when they have professional sports people, that is the big red flag. As a matter of fact, let me just play for you how flummoxed they are over all the people who are getting sick, the young athletes, the professional athletes who are dropping dead or having heart issues.
High school senior is in the hospital after collapsing on the tennis courts.
Breaking new details on the deaths of a high school soccer player.
Finland, Denmark star man Christian Eriksen collapsing towards the end of the first half.
The Kennedy High community mourning tonight after one of their high school football players died.
A South Carolina high school football player has died after collapsing at football practice.
Star college basketball player collapsing on the court. We want to warn you, the video may be difficult to watch.
Florida Gators star Keyontae Johnson collapsing during the game.
A West Catholic high school student has died after collapsing during a football scrimmage.
On mile 8, she suddenly felt fuzzy and blacked out.
17-year-old Ryan Jacobs' heart stopped.
Unexpectedly collapsed on the field.
Megan went into cardiac arrest.
Collapsing during Friday night's football game.
The reason for his collapse is unknown.
The reason why Manny collapsed in the first place still isn't known.
So you might be wondering how someone in such great shape could suffer cardiac arrest.
It's a rare thing that happens.
Yeah, it's just unknown. We don't really have any idea how this could be happening and in such frequency because we've had a 60-fold increase in professional sports adverse events since the vaccines rolled out. We've had situations in the past. I recall a situation where a coach was having the students run drills in extremely hot weather, and a couple of them passed out. They had, I think it was a heart issue, but I don't recall exactly how serious it was, and they had an investigation, and that guy was disciplined for doing that to them. But these are people who are not under extraordinary circumstances, and these are professional athletes, and these are athletes on the basketball court who just collapse, have a heart attack. And the key thing is that it's a 60-fold increase. As Steve Kirsch, by the way, I would recommend him as a source. He's got some excellent articles. Steve Kirsch, he's at Substack now. He's a multimillionaire. He got involved in looking at some treatments, and then he started for COVID, funding some of those and funded some studies, and then he started objectively looking at what was happening and speaking out about it. And, of course, now he's been purged in many, many ways, but he hasn't been silenced. He's on Substack. So Steve Kirsch, K-I-R-S-C-H. He says, you'll hear, just as you heard with that, these events happen all the time. Yeah, they do. We had a soccer player who collapsed and died on the field in 2012. So they do happen, but not at the rate that they're happening now. We're talking about a 60-fold increase. It's happening all over the place. Just like I said before, yeah, we've always had people who had myocarditis and pericarditis. But these have now become household words. Why is this normalized now? Again, just like we have seen every time there is something that seems to have a correlation with vaccination in the past, whether it was autism or other things, why did we have an explosion of autism? Well, I don't know. Things like that just happen. Can't be the vaccines. We're not going to do any investigation on that. And anybody who does an investigation, we will destroy your life. That's not a red flag there, is it? And so they say, well, as he points out, things don't happen this rate. No way. That's the thing that nobody can explain. And these people on the TV news programs are not going to go anywhere close to this. They're afraid to touch this at all. It's the third rail Far more so, you used to always hear, oh, Social Security, politicians don't want to talk about Social Security. That's the third rail. Don't talk about reducing that or changing that in any way, shape, or form. Well, that's nothing compared to the way they avoid the vaccine issue, the pharmaceutical issues. He goes on to write, the vaccine advocates find this super irritating. They have no rational excuse for this. They can't use ad hominem attacks. They can't use goofball hand-waving arguments. Nothing. The numbers show that there have been more events, quote-unquote, in a recent four-month period than over 20 years, which is a 60-fold increase. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like the VAERS database itself? Oh, yeah. Got more than decades combined. All of these are in full public view, so there is no reporting bias involved. And the numbers are big enough that nobody can say, oh, that's just statistical noise. Not a chance. It's just too hard for them to explain. And so you'll see articles like I talked about last week. The German news agency tracks 75 prominent athletes, professional athletes, 75 of them in Germany alone, that suddenly died of a heart attack after the COVID vaccine. But they don't want to make the connection. See, that's the problem. They'll say, well, you know, look at this. This is really disturbing. I don't know why this is happening with professional athletes. We have absolutely no clue. Nothing else can compare to the vaccines when we're talking about heart damage. Jessica Rose, myocarditis paper, was temporarily removed over the objection of the editor of the journal that it was published in. Her paper had a very clear conclusion. Heart damage was not confined to 16-year-olds. It has a very long tail. That's what I've been saying for a long time. I didn't go through and put together data to support it, but I said, look, they're just saying that, as you see in France, nobody under 30 years old is going to get the Moderna vaccine. Well, they can't explain it away for the under 30 years old. They can explain it away for Franklin Graham, but they can't explain it away for a 28-year-old professional athlete. All right, so we won't do that. How about that? We need to make these people back down on this for every age. And he has in this article just a long page after page after page of individuals here, football players, other athletes that are affected by this. I want you to hear the professional mountain biker. I talked about him last week, but I want you to hear it directly from him. He was at a protest in front of the Supreme Court with a lot of other people who have been injured that nobody wants to hear from, that everybody wants to make disappear. And it's just amazing. I've mentioned it several times. There was a situation, a friend of mine, father's, somebody we went to church with who had an operation, and they sewed up a tool inside of him, and he was in tremendous pain. They wouldn't listen to him, and then pretty soon you could see it poking out, and he goes back to the doctor. He says, I think you left something inside here. And there, that didn't happen. That's not there. And he walks out complete denial because he knows what's going to happen to his practice. Yeah, it's covered with malpractice, but something that negligent can be used to essentially make it impossible for you to. He may have had some other issues, and this might have been the second or the third strike or whatever. But I want you to hear from this professional mountain biker who is damaged, has now had his sporting career ended.
Hey, my name is Kyle Warner. I'm a professional mountain bike racer, and I took the Pfizer vaccine. My second dose was on June 10th, and about a month later, I developed pericarditis, which is swelling of the liner of the heart, as well as POTS and reactive arthritis. It's brought an end to my career as I know it, and a lot of my just day-to-day life has changed drastically. So we're out here at this event just kind of speaking out on vaccine injury and trying to get some acceptance from people that this is a real issue. The fact that they're hiding the risk from us, and, you know, I got coerced into doing this, doing my part, and was injured from the vaccine, and, yeah, just trying to help other people not make the same mistake. Just feeling alone. You know, and kind of being told that we don't matter or that we're crazy and that we're being sacrificed for greater good. And that's been really the hardest thing for me, is just knowing that there's so many other people that are hurting. And as soon as we try to speak up, getting things censored, getting things pulled down, or even just being told that we're lying or trying to get famous or trying to, you know, get some attention. People are called fakes all the time. People call people in wheelchairs fakes. They said, this is fake. This didn't happen to you. You guys are plants, government plants trying to ruin things. And it's just like, what happened to us all being in this together and being one country and actually caring about each other? And, you know, I think it's funny that people will attack me on both sides. Some people say that I'm not angry enough and I should be fully anti-vax. And then some people say that I'm too angry and I'm killing thousands of people by speaking out. You know, they're saying you're part of the problem. You're killing people by spreading information and transparency and actually being an honest person, just sharing my experience. And I just think it's so interesting where we're at as a country. But that's been what's kind of stricken me the most, honestly. It's just, I feel like we used to have a common directive, and we are one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's what our whole thing says, and now we're completely divided, and if you get injured, then we don't want to hear about it. We don't want to take away from the greater good.
And it's not taking away from the greater good. They just don't want to hear about it. I mean, it's not just the people who are injured with the vaccines. It's the people who worked 18 months through a pandemic, and they were lionized in the media as heroes, nurses, firemen, police officers, and so forth, kicked to the curb if you don't take the vaccine. There's one thing and one thing only. This is not about uniting as a country. This isn't about public health. All of this is about the vaccine. And the vaccine isn't really even the ultimate thing. It's the control that comes with the vaccine. That's what it's really about. That's why they are unrelenting in this. The money, the power that it gives them over people's lives. It's all there in that vaccine. Sergio Aguero, a vaccinated Barcelona striker, has a severe heart condition. Doctors suggest retirement for him. Football star Sergio Aguero has been advised to quit football, soccer in our American lingo, due to his heart problems. He was the all-time leading scorer for Manchester City. He required medical attention shortly before halftime while playing for a new club, Barcelona, against Alaves, last month. The 33-year-old was taken to a hospital for heart tests where he was diagnosed with cardiac arrhythmia and irregular heartbeat. They say he is open in his support of the COVID-19 vaccine. 6 weeks before his heart problem started, the football star went online to promote the vaccine to 12-year-olds. Reaping what you sow. Remember, vaccinating ourselves, he said, allows the virus to not spread as easily. That's what he said in his commercial. Well, there's not a single bit of truth in that. Vaccination has absolutely no impact on transmission. Why is it that people don't believe their scientific authorities? Because they believe what they want to believe. Even after you have the CDC's Walensky, even after you have the UK's Lancet, their premier medical journal, even after you have the world's greatest doctor that's ever lived, Bill Gates, who has no medical degree, but we all listen to what he has to say because he owns the World Health Organization. Even after all of these people and organizations say it has nothing to do with transmission, what are we doing? Well, we're locking down all the unvaccinated millions of people in Austria now because they're not vaccinated. And this has nothing to do with transmission. Nothing. There's absolutely no medical or scientific basis for it. None of their scientific experts support this, and yet they continue undaunted. So we have an Australian rules footballer. He's now quit the game after he was going to be forced to get a vaccine. Their no jab, no job policy. He's terminated his contract, which is worth $500,000 Australian dollars. Because guess what, folks? Your life and your health isn't worth $500,000, is it? Playing Russian roulette with that. That's why I read that obituary at the beginning. He said, I want this to get out. Nurses have begged me to get this out. And his wife put that testimony in his obituary. So this Australian football player who's just walked away from $500,000 Australian dollar contract refused to change his stance and to get vaccinated despite the league's no jab, no play policy. He said, I wish to announce my retirement from football effective immediately, he said. I love the game and I'll miss my teammates. The club that he worked for said, quote, we have been in constant dialogue with Liam in recent months and allowing him the time needed to make an informed decision regarding his playing career. Well, that's not an informed decision. You're not respecting his informed decision. You're not respecting his informed consent. You're dictating this to him. This is not his decision to leave. This is your coercion, your punishment, because he doesn't take the Trump juice, the Trump AIDS, acquired immune deficiency shots, the Trump AIDS, or your Soylent genes, whatever you want to call it. New VAERS analysis shows hundreds of serious adverse events that the CDC and the FDA were never told us about. Now, this is also from Steve Kirsch, K-I-R-S-C-H, at Substack. Had two excellent articles that I found over the weekend. And a brand new VAERS data analysis performed by Albert Benavides, also known as Welcome the Eagle 88. I guess that's his social media handle. He said, we found hundreds of serious adverse events that were completely missed by the CDC that should have been mentioned in the informed consent document given to patients. We found over 200 symptoms that occurred at a higher relative rate than myocarditis relative to all previous vaccines over the last 5 years. Altogether, there are over 4,000 VAERS adverse event codes that were elevated by these vaccines by a factor of 10 or more over the baseline that the CDC should have warned people about. Now, let's just talk about this a little bit. When they want to promote something like remdesivir, Fauci comes out and says, well, okay, it didn't save people. As a matter of fact, and we had two different tests, and one of the tests, more people died on remdesivir than survived. But on the other one, it was just slightly more. But both of those were within the, we had slightly better survival rate, but both of those were in the range of statistical variance so that we'd say that there's no difference. But we have a new standard now. And that is that the people who survived got better 30% faster, we think. And so on the basis of that, I'm going to make remdesivir the standard of care. How about that? Ka-ching, ka-ching. Release the money. Big money. Over $3,000 per treatment course. Whereas, you know, for ivermectin, even at the inflated prices that they charge for drugs in America, you know, we pay about 5 or 6 times more than everybody else in the world does. We still would pay about $15 for it. So when you look at how they're willing to say, well, okay, we didn't help anybody. The survival rate is absolutely no different for remdesivir, but people got better 30% faster. Here you have a situation where you've elevated over 4,000 different conditions by a factor of 10. We're talking about 1,000% increase, 1,000% increase of 4,000 different adverse events. One of the reasons that you're seeing all these people checked into hospitals and we got this, you know, unexplained death rate shooting up that doesn't have anything to do with COVID, outside of COVID, shooting going sky high. Would it have something to do with the fact that according to their own database, and people are going through and performing analyses on the VAERS database, like I pointed out a couple of weeks ago, one person went through and said, I noticed by sorting by the batch numbers that they've recorded that 100% of the casualties came from 5% of the batches. Those were sent out, those dangerous batches were sent out everywhere. Whereas the ones that didn't were not associated with any deaths were targeted to certain areas. Why is that? So we're starting to see some interesting things. Now, in this particular analysis, they're going through and looking at these different conditions. And again, saying it's not just the things that we've seen in terms of blood clots and heart issues that we should be talking about. There's a lot of these things. Again, more than 4,000 adverse event codes that have jumped up by a factor of 10 or more over the baseline being the other vaccines over the last 5 years. As of November the 1st, there have been more adverse events reported for the COVID vaccines and for all 70-plus vaccines combined since they started tracking adverse events 30 years ago. That's nothing new. We've talked about that. They hit that benchmark a while back. But I think it's also important, the fact that over that 30-year period, we're talking about over 70 different vaccines as well. All of them combined over the last 30 years, and now more advanced adverse effects than all of those. The younger you are, the worse it gets, he says. For kids, it's estimated that we kill 117 kids for every COVID death that we prevent. Does that make any sense? The Pfizer six-month trial showed the drug can save one life for every 22,000 people vaccinated. But it also appeared from the trial that the drug killed more people than it saved. There were 20 deaths in the treatment group versus 14 in the placebo group after unblinding. So we're saving fewer than 10,000 lives at the expense of more than 150,000 deaths. In other words, we kill 15 people to save one. That sounds about right, doesn't it? Oh, these are big, beautiful vaccines. Nobody else could have done anything like this. We got this done in just a couple of months. I mean, other people would have taken 10 years because they would have looked at some of this stuff with a critical eye, perhaps. Or perhaps not. The CDC safety monitoring is so bad, they even admitted at the last ACIP meeting that it was the DOD, the Department of Defense, that spotted the myocarditis signals. But nevertheless, Department of Defense is now mandating it for everybody. They don't care either. Right? So there have been a lot of safety signals that have been sitting in plain sight the entire time. As a matter of fact, when we talk about anaphylaxis, you know, shock, people going into shock from this stuff, and the polyethylene glycol, the wrapping for the Pfizer and Moderna, they wrap the nanoparticles in this PEG. They call it pegylated. And as soon as the people at Children's Health Defense Fund saw that, they said, "Whoa, we know that there are a lot of people who have allergic reactions if that is, to polyethylene glycol, to PEG." And so they notified the FDA, and the FDA said, "Well, we don't care. Let Pfizer Moderna know." That's just, we don't care. We don't care. Why should we care? I mean, we're just the FDA, right? We completely are subsidiary of these people. So call the big guys upstairs. Go to the manufacturers. And they did, and they didn't even respond. So he said, the serious events that we highlight are all consistent with the mechanism of action that Robert Malone and I first described in the Dark Horse podcast, namely that the spike protein that is produced in response to the delivery of the mRNA is cytotoxic and results in blood clots, inflammation, and scarring throughout your body, which then creates a wider range of severe adverse events than any vaccine in history. So he said, in general, patients believe their doctors and never figure out where they can go to get a cytokine panel to discover that they are vaccine injured. And he has, and this is why I recommend him, he's got some resources in here. You can go to www.covidlonghaulers.com to get the cytokine panel and to Incel DX to get the spike protein assay. So people never learn how to rid their body of the spike protein either, which is the first step in the road to recovery. As a matter of fact, I've had some people send me some articles. I will give you that information. I don't have that with me in today's show, but I will give you some of that information for you to vet it yourself. I believe in informed consent. I'm not endorsing anything. I don't want to give anybody any false hope, but also don't want to leave you without any hope as well. If these things might possibly work, I want to pass it along to you. If you have been vaccinated, this is one way to purge it out, because a lot of people did not know anything about this before they were pressured into doing this or lied into doing this, and they would like to know what they can do if they have made that mistake. The high adverse event rates are not excess reporting. For example, one neurologist had zero cases of vaccine adverse events in her entire career, but this year she's had 2,000. Another physician I know has had zero events in 29 years. This year, he reports 25 events. He goes on to say, as they look at this data, one of the interesting points about this is how it is predominantly focused on the reproductive system. Female reproductive issues top the list. Again, they went through the VAERS database and they cross-tabulated it by the different symptoms and found that there were 4,000 different symptoms that were listed there, where it is more than 10 times greater than it has been for the in the last 5 years for all other vaccines combined. And the number one thing was reproductive systems. And part of that has to do with the biodistribution of these spike proteins. Now, when they inject this, they don't inject it into your bloodstream. They inject it into your muscle. That's typical for these types of things. Well, they put it in your arm. But it gets into the bloodstream anyway, and it does not stay localized in the arm. And that's what was discovered by Dr. Biddle out of Canada when he did a Freedom of Information request from the Japanese government. Unlike the U.S. government, they didn't stonewall. They gave him the information. And what it showed was that they had their biodistribution showed that it went all over the body. But primarily, if you look at this chart right here, you can see that the places where it was the most elevated by far was in the ovaries. That's that. And so you see that all these different systems, it was getting into them. But that's kind of down. There's a lot of different systems that are represented by a lot of different lines at the bottom there. But you see three in particular, well, actually four, where it goes up. Peaking early within 2 hours is distribution into the blood plasma and into the whole blood. And then after 24 hours, it starts to rise significantly into the bone marrow, but it just goes straight up in terms of concentration in the ovaries after 24 hours. So that's one of the key findings that they found from this. And they point out Nicki Minaj was right to complain about elevated rates of testicular swelling and impotence. But all the symptoms that she talked about are as strongly elevated as you'll see from the data below. None of these so-called experts, of course, ever look at the data. It's all based on arguing from their belief system rather than scientific evidence. And so that's another one of the systems that was elevated. Isn't it interesting that it goes for reproductive systems, but especially for female reproductive systems? There's a pretty good chance that the vaccines don't really work at all and never did. We know the Pfizer Phase 3 trials were gamed in many ways. It seems that it's quite possible for the immunity that they confer is actually the result of killing off, or excluding in the case of the trials, people who have weaker immune systems. He says it's really easy to tell you to tell who is telling you the truth here. And so he says that he has challenged John Hsu, S-U. He is the CDC expert on VAERS. If he's wrong, the entire narrative falls apart. So I personally attacked Dr. Hsu in a widely read article accusing him of being corrupt. Offered to publish his response to the article. He said nothing. Offered to debate him. No dice. Trial Site News tried to interview him. He refused to reply. Seriously? If the CDC gave us 2 hours to ask John Hsu questions, we would destroy his credibility and the credibility of the CDC. And that's why he is not talking. And that's why the CDC will never let him talk to anyone on our team or even on Trial Site News. Because we don't ask softball questions. We play hardball. This is exactly the same thing we had Kerry Mullis so upset about with Fauci, if you recall. How Fauci abused the PCR test developed by Kerry Mullis. Kerry Mullis won the Nobel Prize for that. And he says, Fauci is completely misusing these tests. I've called him out. I've said he's a fraud. I say he doesn't know anything about science. He's completely ignorant. He's nothing but a bureaucrat. I've tried to debate him. We've had colleges try to set up a debate between Fauci and between me over his misuse of the PCR test during the AIDS situation, that Fauci was the number one guy. And we got some more information about that as well. But he said he never will talk to me. Same way that John Hsu at the CDC, the expert on the VAERS system, will not talk either. So he says, if you look at this biodistribution again, it is focused more than anything on female ovaries. The spike protein is subsequently producing blood clots, inflammation, scarring, leading to a number of cardiovascular and neurological symptoms, a number of which would be irreversible. He said, note, we deliberately omitted, you know, when he talks about this chart again, we deliberately omitted areas of the body where the vaccine was expected to accumulate in order to highlight areas of the body where it wasn't supposed to go. He said he did a Dark Horse podcast with Robert Malone, himself and the host. He said YouTube censored that. after it got about 1 million views. He said, Wikipedia accused both of us of spreading misinformation, then blocked me when I tried to point out the scientific evidence supported what I said. Wikipedia relies on fact-checkers for science, not on debate. We have people in authority who will tell us what is true and what isn't, and you will obey what they have to say. He goes on to say, President Biden not only doesn't care, he wants to force all of our kids to be vaccinated with the most dangerous vaccine in human history. So when he talks about the various symptoms, again, here are his conclusions. I'll just give you a few of the conclusions that he comes out with. Female reproductive issues top the list, strongly elevated by these vaccines. He said there is an enormous number of cardiovascular and neurological events. Now, we knew these two things, but this is kind of interesting. I'd not seen this before. Troponin was elevated by a factor 205. That is a, and I don't know what it is. Is it a protein or something? It's some substance that they look at. When I had a heart attack, they look at it and said, yeah, we had this in your bloodstream. It happens when you have a heart attack. And when you have a heart attack, it typically goes back to normal soon after the incident, right? But in this particular case, not only is the level of troponin 10 times what you would typically see with a heart attack, but it doesn't go back to normal. It stays elevated for months at a time. Months at a time. That means that your heart is still under stress all through that time. And this is why even professional athletes are succumbing to this. brain herniation up by a factor of 100 times over baseline. Brain herniation, 100 times more than the other vaccines over the past 5 years reported to the VAERS database. Cardiac arrest, 93 times higher. This is when your heart actually stops. Yeah, and you got to get the jump start with the, if somebody's around with something to shock you. Pulmonary embolism, elevated, listen to this, 954 times normal. Pulmonary embolism. 954 times normal. How do you miss that, CDC? You lying criminals. This was the cause of death in two of the 14 kids that the CDC looked at their death analysis. You know, when they did this very short, very small test of children, had a couple of the kids die out of 14. Big test there. Oh, this has really been vetted, hasn't it? That's 7%. They said mainstream press will never ask questions as to why the CDC would not find causality here. They wrote, the CDC reviewed 14 reports of death after vaccination. Among the decedents, 4 were aged 12 to 15 years old, and 10 were 16 to 17 years old. All death reports were reviewed by CDC physicians' impressions regarding cause of death, and they were, two of those were pulmonary embolism. And so he points out, if you have elevated this by a factor of 954 times, why, how do you explain that away? Well, you don't. You just ignore it. You just ignore it. Intracranial hemorrhage, elevated by a factor of 79 times. Two of the 14 kids who died in the test died from that as well. Tinnitus, elevated by 105 times. This is a ringing in your ears. This can be so bad that people can kill themselves from this alone. One of the people who works at the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation had to talk a friend out of suicide because it was so horrible and so long-lasting, this tinnitus. So he says, for months, I've offered to discuss the data and analyses to both the FDA and the CDC outside committees, as well as to the CDC and the FDA themselves. Nobody wanted to see it. Most of them hit delete on my emails. A few of them told me to wait for the public comment period and submit it then. Nobody ever followed up. He said, I did it, but nobody ever followed up. We now see a surge as we're starting to vaccinate younger children. We're now starting to see a surge in five-year-olds. In terms of serious injuries, this is from childrenshealthdefense.org. The data included a total of 18,461 reports of death this last week, an increase of 383 people over the previous week. Now, think about that. We had another 383 people. Oh, what's that matter? You know, because it's just a statistic. If we got, you know, tens of thousands of people, you know, we're closing in on 20,000 people reported dead from this vaccine. So just another 383. Who cares? It's just like we had another 737 MAX crash and killed another 400 people. Who cares? Just keep flying them. It's rare, right? They stopped all the 737 MAXs after 8,600 flights. You had two crashes here in the U.S. So we stopped it. But, you know, this is like, well, we just had another crash this week, and we had a crash last week, and before that we had two crashes, and we don't care. Just keep them flying. Look at how many people made it. And it's even worse because on the plane, you know, you don't have people who are injured for life. I mean, everybody dies when these planes crash. But we're just talking about the people who are dying, and that's equivalent to a 737 MAX crash. But then you have all the people who are crippled or, you know, paralyzed. They can't, they're in a wheelchair or whatever. They've got some other debilitating illness. Or they've been so severely damaged by myocarditis and pericarditis that they can't perform anymore. So we just keep going. And, you know, when you hear them talking about the foreign reports, understand this is not like some hackers out of Russia adding stuff maliciously to the database. The foreign reports are reports received by the U.S. manufacturers from their foreign subsidiaries. You see, these Operation Warp Speed, Trump juice, Trump shots, Trump AIDS, the Soylent gene injections that we developed here in the United States, they're being used around the world. So, you know, AstraZeneca was from the UK, but the three that we're using here are being used around the world. And so the FDA requires, when they are selling the Pfizer, Moderna in Europe and other places, and they have adverse effects, they want that reported on the FDA's VAERS system. If a manufacturer is notified of a foreign case that describes an event, if it's serious and does not appear on the product's labeling, the manufacturer is required to submit the report to VAERS. And so a lot of people will exclude those foreign reports, but they shouldn't be excluded. Of the 8,456 deaths just in the U.S., 10% occurred within 24 hours of vaccination. 15% occurred within 48 hours of vaccination. And 26% occurred in people who experienced an onset of symptoms within 48 hours of being vaccinated. So you add all that stuff up, that's 51% of the people. Either they died within the first 24 to 48 hours, or they had an onset of symptoms within the first 48 hours. That's about half of the deaths that reported happened with that type of thing immediately. And that in and of itself is very rare, very atypical of vaccine adverse effects. Typically, they take a very, very long time to show up. That's why I've mentioned many times Pandemrix, the vaccine that Fauci and Slaoui put together for the H1N1, the plague of the earth, right? Remember that? Back in 2009. And it was in the Scandinavian countries that they noticed that they were getting a significant injury in young children. It was showed up in them first, but it took a year for that to show up. And severe symptoms, narcolepsy, catalepsy. Catalepsy is where you just freeze and you can't move. You just freeze up. It's been used by Edgar Allan Poe. You know, the premature burial story that he had. You know, a person was scared to death, had catalepsy. They were scared to death that they were going to think he was dead, bury him alive. And so it's been around. You know, Arthur Conan Doyle used it in some of his stories. But very, very rare. And then narcolepsy, where you just fall asleep anywhere. And that is so bad that now that these kids who are damaged in the mid-20s, many, many of them are committing suicide because they can't have any kind of a normal life. You know, you look at that and you say, well, you know, is that, I fall asleep, but you know, you can't drive. There's so many different things that you can't do. that are life-threatening, quite frankly. You know, fall asleep. Taiwan has temporarily halted the second dose of Pfizer over the myocarditis concerns, but we're not. We're moving ahead. We're going down to the five-year-olds, and we've got people experimenting on their kids all the way down to a year old. Uh-huh. More countries restrict Moderna vaccine over reports of myocarditis. France's public health authority says we're not going to give it to people under 30. Again, why? Because they can't explain it away for the people under 30. They can explain it away for the people who are older. Oh, well, you know, this is something else. Pfizer has asked FDA to authorize a third booster dose for all people 18 and older. They're doubling, tripling down. And again, just stop and think about how strange this is. I mean, didn't you think that it was strange? And I talked about this many, many times in the liftoff stage of Operation Warp Speed. I said, since when have we ever had a vaccine where you have a shot and then another shot 30 days later? That in and of itself was really strange. Having to keep it at subarctic temperatures, that was really strange. And of course, this is not like any other vaccine. I have a listener who sent me another one of these questionnaires. And actually, the questions on it are pretty standardized. We've seen these types of things. I'll go over that again in a minute. But again, you know, one of the things they like to ask people to try to come up with some way to deny your religious concerns, your religious exemptions, or your medical ones. But, you know, they have it, and there's as a religious exemption. They say, well, have you ever objected to any of the other vaccines like this? Well, there aren't any other vaccines like this. There aren't any other vaccines where you got to get two shots. Oh, and then after 6 months, you get a third one, and then a fourth one after another 6 months, and on and on and on. There aren't any like that. There aren't any other so-called vaccines that work this way. This is completely different from all the other ones. So that question is absolutely irrelevant. This is unlike any other, not only in its operation, but also in the fact that it hasn't been tested. Norway study has found, though, now, a vaccine effectiveness rate of, wait for it, zero. Of course. No, I mean, seriously, you know, you look, the election's on Tuesday. Biden is coronated on Saturday. On Sunday, 60 Minutes runs its program talking about how the military is going to deliver it as soon as they're given the go-ahead. The next day, Monday, Pfizer comes out and says, we're 90% effective. The next day, Russia comes out, we're 93% effective. The following Monday, Moderna comes out and says, we're 94% effective. And the next day, Pfizer comes out and says, we've reevaluated, we're not 90% effective, we're 94.5% effective. I talked about that from the day that it happened. I said, this is a joke. These people are making this stuff up. They wouldn't know how effective this was for 3 years, minimum. And really, it would have been 10 years because you would have had to do these 3-year studies on each of the three phases to really have something there. It would have been 10 years. And they're going to say after a couple of months, oh, yeah, now we're 94.5% effective. They're just making this stuff up as they're going along. And now we see, after they've had a chance to look at it a little bit longer, they find that there is no difference in outcomes between vaccinated and unvaccinated hospital patients. This is a preprint study from Norway. They found that being vaccinated makes zero difference to the risk of dying once hospitalized for COVID-19. See, one by one, all of these absurd claims that they made without any justification whatsoever, these were assertions. This was not based on any studies. They had done no studies as part of Operation Warp Speed. And, you know, Trump and McCarthy were, was it McCarthy? No. What was the guy's name? Meadows, Mark Meadows, who was his chief of staff. Previously, the head of the most conservative, liberty-loving coalition and the Republicans in Congress. And Mark Meadows conveyed the information, and Trump did it in a very clear threat on social media. You either approve this today, Han, that was his director of the FDA, you either approve this today or you're fired. And he did it. No problem. And so one by one, we've seen these people come back and say, as you've seen Walensky say, as you've seen The Lancet say, as you've seen Gates say, well, it doesn't do anything about transmission. Transmission is the same whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. You can still get sick, but it helps you. You're not as likely to die. You're not as likely to. So, and we say, well, if that is true, then there's absolutely no justification for your coercion, telling people that you're not going to be able to work, go to school, get out of your house, travel, anything. You know, your life will be ended, and we're going to make you suffer. They've said this over and over again. We've had one public health director after, we're going to make them suffer. We're going to make their life miserable if they don't get the shot. Well, there's no justification for it if you're talking about public health, because there you're talking about transmission. And so then it becomes, if it doesn't have any effect on transmission, it is an issue of individual health. And it's none of your business, but out of my life. Get out of my doctor-patient relationship. Tell me honestly what the effects are, what the risks and benefits are, and then let me decide. Get out of this. It's not your decision. But now they come back, and that final thing that they kept hanging on there, well, it doesn't make any difference about transmission, and you're still going to get sick, but you'll be better. Well, Norway says no. There was no difference in the adjusted odds of in-hospital death between vaccinated and unvaccinated patients in any age group. They also observed no difference between vaccinated and unvaccinated in the length of hospital stay for patients not admitted to the ICU. These findings are adjusted for age and other risk factors and are not simply due to the vaccinated being older or at higher risk. Again, where is this coming from? Norway. The Scandinavian countries who are not making and selling the vaccine. Just as they did with pandemics in 2009, they're being honest about it. We should listen to them. They don't have a vested interest in this, unlike some other people. We have Fauci, and this is, I think, one of the most disturbing articles I've seen in a while. I've talked about the puppy situation, and that got everybody upset, and rightfully so. It's disgusting. I mean, when you look at how innocent puppies are, and trusting they are, and the fact that they would torture them to death in a heinous way. And I talked about how nobody was really concerned about the kids, about the human babies. They're being tortured to death to create these humanized mice, which are being used to test more pharmaceutical products. I don't know if they use the humanized mice for this particular stuff or not. They say they didn't. They admit that they used the fetal cell lines that were obtained back in 1963. But that was a targeted abortion where, as I've pointed out many times, I've read you multiple articles where they talk about how it's necessary for the baby to still be alive for them to harvest those cells, to harvest the organs that they're using also in the currently ongoing humanized mice trials. But now it gets even worse because we're finding out, and by the way, RFK Jr. has got a book that's going to be available tomorrow. I'm going to try to get it ordered today and delivered tomorrow. I'll go through it pretty quickly and give you an update report on it on Wednesday. But you might want to support that and help that to get to the top of the list. It's something that people need to understand because his book is about Fauci. It's about Fauci. And one of the things that he talks about, just one of the aspects of the book they talks about, is something that was, I think, one of the most heinous things that I've seen. And this alone should be enough to make Anthony Fauci an international war criminal like Joseph Mengele. In this, as many as 14,000 babies and children in at least 7 U.S. states were conscripted by Pfizer, by GlaxoSmithKline, GSK, and Genentech, and other companies. And they were forced to take antiretroviral drugs during an AIDS research spending frenzy that was overseen by Fauci at his NIAID. Now remember, Fauci was at the very center of this, and this is a big part of the dispute between Kerry Mullins. He was very angry about the PCR test because Fauci used that to say that he had identified a virus. And Kerry Mullins was saying, well, not with my test you didn't, because the way that you've been using this. And so that created a big big debate, and it got Kerry Mullins kicked out of Scientific Society because he opposed Fauci. And if you oppose Fauci, you're going to be kicked out. But he was at the very epicenter of all this AIDS stuff and all of the massive money that was spent on that. And what we're talking about here, you know, we've talked about puppies and we've talked about babies being, you know, aborted in a way that would keep them intact and then dissected while they were alive. And now what we're talking about with this is orphans and foster kids that were used as guinea pigs. They were used just like he used puppies. In Kennedy's book, he goes through the reports. In New York State alone, at least 523 infants and children who tested positive for HIV were given potently toxic AIDS drugs like AZT and others. Hundreds of children died and were just buried in plain wooden coffins stacked in a mass grave, all under the oversight of, quote, America's doctor, Fauci. It's a chapter, writes LifeSite News, of Fauci's history that is chief marketing agent of Pfizer and other drug companies currently promoting experimental COVID injections to healthy children is now suddenly relevant again. In 2004, journalist Liam Sheff published his shocking investigation report on HIV drug experiments inside a four-story brick institute called the Incarceration Children's Center. Think about that. The Incarceration Children's Center, that's what they called it. I'm sorry. Incarnation. It should have been incarceration. I'm just, I take that back. Incarnation Children's Center. And I look at this and it's like incarnation. I see incarceration. I mean, because that's essentially what they did to these kids. They put them in prison. But that's not what they called it. They come up with different names. It was run by Columbia University's Presbyterian Hospital in affiliation with the Catholic Archdiocese of New York. Sheff had discovered that children at this orphanage were being used as guinea pigs. Quote, the drugs being given to the children are toxic. They're known to cause, listen to this, genetic mutation, organ failure, bone marrow death, bodily deformations, brain damage, and fatal skin disorders, he wrote. If the children refuse the drugs, they're held down and force-fed, just like the puppies. If the children continue to resist, they're taken to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, where a surgeon puts a plastic tube through their abdominal wall into their stomachs, and from then on, the drugs are injected directly into their intestines. Now, I talked on Friday to John Kiriakou. We talked about the horrific things that were being done in torture. I mean, you had just as punishment, you had anal feeding, if that's even a thing. I don't think you can, I don't know if you can ingest food that way. But that was just brutal, sadistic torture. This is being done to kids, force feeding kids these drugs. And then if they put up too much of a fight, they basically pump it into their stomach surgically. These children were treated by Fauci and his organization worse than we tortured Al-Qaeda people. Now, you know, John Kiriakou talked about it, and you know, said these guys are dangerous, they're evil. But, you know, when you torture people to get information out of them, you're going to get bad information, you're going to get lies about weapons of mass destruction. And we don't want to become that kind of a country that tortures prisoners like we're doing for the January the 6th prisoners now, and many others, people in the communications management unit. We talked about all of that. But are we going to be a country that looks the other way when this is done to children? In 2003, two children, ages 6 and 12, had debilitating strokes due to the drug toxicities. The 6-year-old went blind. They both died shortly after. Another 14-year-old died recently. An 8-year-old boy had two plastic surgeries to remove large, fatty, drug-induced lumps from his neck. The reporter, journalist Liam Sheff, said, this isn't science fiction. This is AIDS research. This is Fauci's research. When are we going to stop holding harmless the people who are over this? Fauci is responsible for this. And so is Bush, who was president at the time. And you have Trump, even more so, responsible for this, what is happening with this vaccine, and still taking credit for it, by the way. You know, you didn't have Bush running around bragging about what he had done with AIDS, but Trump is. Fauci, who is ringleader of an extravagant, lucrative government pharma HIV research circus, which had its heyday in the 1990s and the early 2000s. Other chapters in RFK Jr.'s book, The Real Anthony Fauci, that's the name of the book, and with the subtitle Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health. It's going to be released tomorrow if you want to get that. For the children under Fauci's HIV regime, it was a nightmare. This journalist, Chef, interviewed staff and child care workers at the ICC. And again, that was not the incarceration center. It was the incarnation center. One girl, a six-year-old, Cheyenne, they said she came in for adherence. She was the most delicate little flower, beautiful, polite, full of life. Her family never gave her meds, so Administration for Children's Services brought her into ICC. She came in and started the med. So this is somebody that CPS had picked up from their kids, had picked up from the parents, brought in. She came in and started the meds, and it was 3 months, maybe 3 months, that she had a stroke. She could not see. She was this normal girl singing, jumping, and playing, and then poof, stroked out, blind. We were freaked out, said the workers. Then in a few months, she was gone, dead. During one of the drug trials for the antiretroviral Dapsone, 10 children died. The Associated Press, or the Associated Propaganda investigation, confirmed that they died from a variety of causes, including 4 from blood poisoning. So, you know, when we look at this, and we look at Fauci, just remember that not only does Trump take credit for these, for his AIDS, his acquired immune deficiency shots, but he brags about it being one of the greatest accomplishments that anybody's ever done, greatest accomplishment of his presidency. And remember when he was asked by Judge Jeanine about Fauci, he defended Fauci. Listen to this.
We're talking about vaccinating kids who were 5 years old to 12 years old and then forcing them to continue to wear masks. Our heroes are being fired. They're losing their jobs. Are you sorry you didn't fire Anthony Fauci?
Well, it's not because of him they're losing their job. It's because of some bad policies that are being made by the Biden administration.
Yeah, it's not the bad drugs that Trump forced out and said, you're stop the test now. Let's just get this thing out. It's to my political advantage to put this out. We can claim if we vaccinate everybody, we can all get everybody back in. And that's what I want to. I just want to make this go away. The way you make it go away is we rush this thing out without testing it. And so as you look at this, just remind you again of what Revelation says. And they did not repent of their murders or their pharmakia, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Well, that pretty much covers it, doesn't it? You know, Trump and Epstein, Trump and the rest of this stuff. And the money involved, the murders involved, and they absolutely don't care. I mean, these people, like Trump, just like Hillary, will look in the camera and say, I'm very proud of what I did. Never will admit what they did. Never, ever. Yeah, the merchants, the great men of earth, and by their pharmakia, all of the nations were led astray. So as they point out in this, this is also from Kennedy's book, what dark flaw in Anthony Fauci's character allowed him to oversee and then to cover up the atrocities at Incarnation Children's Center. At its very best, there must be some arrogance or imperiousness that enables Fauci to rationalize the sufferings and the deaths of children as acceptable collateral damage in what he sees as his noble search for new public health innovations. At worst, says RFK Jr., he is a sociopath who has pushed science into the realm of sadism. I would say he's not just a sociopath, he is a psychopath. And he has embraced this end justifies the means. Fauci is responsible for what was done with his organization and AIDS. He personally oversaw that. That was the biggest profile program he had. And Trump is responsible for Fauci. It was the biggest program that Trump had. They know what they did. They knew what they were doing, and they know now what they did. Do you know? Do you know? Will you acknowledge that? Will you stop cheering these people? Will you stop explaining it away? The character of the man in charge of COVID and the vaccine makers that he works with is worth investigating, he says. Could these dark alchemists justify a strategy of prioritizing their $48 billion vaccine project ahead of public health and of human life? Asked Kennedy. These dark alchemists, that's a good way to put it. Sorcerers, pharmakia, they do not repent of their murders or their theft of $48 billion so far. I want to go to break. I'm going to play for you what RFK Jr. said. He said, this is the hill we're going to die on. This is the fight of our life.
You think about this. I got expelled from Instagram because of vaccine misinformation. But Instagram and Facebook cannot point to one single erroneous statement that I ever made. Everything we post is vetted. It is sourced and cited to government databases or peer-reviewed publications. When they use the term vaccine misinformation, they are using it as a euphemism for any statement that departs from official government policies and pharmaceutical industry profit-taking. It has nothing to do whether it's true or false. It only has to do with what the political implications are. And who is doing this censorship? It's government officials in league with Bill Gates, with Larry Ellison, with Mark Zuckerberg, with Sergey Brin from Google, and with all of these internet titans. They have engineered not only the destruction of our democracy and our civil rights, but they have engineered the biggest shift of wealth in human history. $3.8 trillion from working people to these handful of billionaires, many of them from Silicon Valley. This pandemic has impoverished the world and created 500 new billionaires. And those are the people who are strip mining our economies and making themselves rich. And is it a coincidence that these are the same people who are censoring criticism of the government policies that are bringing them trillions of dollars? People aren't stupid. We can see what's happening. We can ask the question, cui bono? And the answer is the people who are benefiting are the people who are squeezing away our constitutional rights and engineering the destruction of democracy worldwide.
Common man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future.
They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
All right. I want to, before I get away from the medical aspects, before we start talking about the mandates, and we had some really good news on the mandates over the weekend. We had a man who stood up with integrity, and I'm talking about the guy in Oklahoma, head of the Oklahoma National Guard. And we'll see what happens, because he was attacked across the board by the medical establishment. And we'll get to that in a moment. I just want to say, before we leave the medical aspect of this, this is a story that came out on Friday from the Daily Beast, and it was published by Drudge Report and many other sites. Here's the study name. It says, bioactive scaffolds with enhanced supramolecular motion promote recovery from spinal cord injury. Well, let's unpack that a little bit. We had an article from the Daily Beast just cheering this as a medical miracle. Injectable gel, we'll come back to that in a moment, reversed paralysis in mice with spinal cord injuries. Human clinical trials are next. So we're talking about people who have damaged spinal cords, and they're saying that this gel causes the body, helps the body to heal itself. Now, before we get into the details of this, I just want to point out the fact that from the very beginning of this, as Moderna and Pfizer, it was Moderna's tactic, I guess, and it was copied by Pfizer because they have they have inside access to this, very big, lots of influence of the government, and I think Pfizer basically jumped ahead of them because they've got they're more established as a pharmaceutical company. As a matter of fact, Moderna's stock has taken a hit because they can't manufacture the stuff quickly enough to keep up with, not with demand, but with the government's commands, government mandating the product. They can't keep up with it. Pfizer can. And so when you look at Albert Bourla talking about the way, I mentioned it last week, he said, yeah, we got a whole new class of mRNA drugs coming out. They're going to fix your bad DNA. We're going to fix it for you. Now, they had always maintained from the very beginning, you know, we looked at this and he said, wait a minute, they're bragging, Moderna is bragging about it, and so is Pfizer, that we are going to reprogram your body to become a vaccine manufacturing facility. That's how we're going to do this so quickly. You know, we're not going to have a situation where we have to grow a pathogen in eggs, and then we weaken it or we kill it, and then we distribute it. Then we have to put it in the vaccines and distribute it. That takes too long. What we're going to do is we're going to inject some mRNA, and that's going to reprogram your body to build something that will challenge your body and make it produce antibodies. Now, of course, the key problem with that is that the spike protein that it creates is not weakened or dead. As a matter of fact, it's very, very harmful. That's what's causing all of these problems. And so they had your body start to manufacture something that is extremely toxic. How does that get turned off? Well, we don't know. And a lot of these people, I think it doesn't get turned off, which is what the problem is. But they were very adamant when we looked at this. And, ooh, wait a minute. You're reprogramming the body? Oh, no, we're not reprogramming the DNA. Oh, no. No, that's fake news. That's misinformation. Until he comes out and says, hey, we got a new feature. We got a new product that we're planning. And this is going to use mRNA to change your DNA. Just like that. They just do a 180. There's nobody in the press saying, wait a minute. We were purging people who said that mRNA modifies your DNA. We would kick people off of social media and other places if you said that. And now the Pfizer CEO can come out and say it. Now it's not a bug. Now it's not misinformation or disinformation. Now it's a wonderful new miracle. It's a new feature. It's not a bug. It's a new feature. And it is miraculous. And in the same way, they're doing the same thing with this. So let me just ask you this. If you can use these, if they have products that can do this, that can reverse paralysis in mice, you think maybe the products could cause paralysis? Oh, no, that would never happen. No, it only does good things. It never does bad things. It never has any unintended consequences. That's why we had to give them legal immunity because, it does have unintended consequences. In terms of talking about how this works, and I just want you to hear this because when we talk about some of the things that people say that they have found under a microscope that are in these injections, people want to say, well, that can't possibly be the case. You know, that's too strange. It's too sci-fi. I mean, we're talking about stuff assembling itself and creating lattices and ladders and things like that and structures as it thaws out. Then it gets into your blood. It starts creating these structures, and you have people like Dr. Carrie Madej saying, "Well, look at this. Look at how it's assembling this stuff. Oh, you're crazy. You're hallucinating. You're making this stuff up. You're lying. It's disinformation. It's misinformation." Well, listen to this. Paralysis might one day be as easy to cure as a single injection of a drug, if some promising new results stand up to scrutiny. Well, of course they'll stand up to scrutiny because they won't get any scrutiny. Scientists at Northwestern University reversed paralysis in mice with spinal cord injuries by injecting them with a self-assembling gel that can repair tissues. The new gel is designed to act as a kind of scaffolding for cells in the spinal cord and to make it easier for them to grow. It's made of individual protein units that are able to automatically bind together into long chains in water. Now, I don't know if this is hydrogel or not. I couldn't see that they identified it as such. But, I mean, they're talking about a gel. We're talking about something that's hydrophilic that needs to operate in that. So I don't know if that's the case or not. Nevertheless, this gel creates scaffolding within water. Within the body, a network of these chains can mimic the extracellular matrix of the spinal cord to give the cells a structure on which they can grow. The Northwestern team injected a single dose of the gel at the site of a spinal cord injury into mice whose hind legs were paralyzed. Within 4 weeks, the paralyzed mice were able to walk again. Within 12 weeks, the gel's materials degrade and disappear from the body completely without any noticeable side effects. There we go. To boot, the study's authors say the gel is fairly inexpensive to produce. Oh, you can bet, though, when it's patented, it'll be very expensive to buy. So that inexpensive to produce, that's a incentive for Big Pharma to grab it. You know, they can grab it. It's like, oh, hey, I got this thing. How much is it worth to you to be able to walk again? How much would you be willing to pay? How much can we get your insurance company to pay? But look, if that was all there was to it, we might say, well, that's fine. Yeah, we'll pay for that. I'm just saying that when you're talking about something that can heal neurodegenerative diseases, and if it can do this with this kind of science fiction capability, yeah, it's got this nanotech, and this gel goes in, and it starts to create a lattice work that mimics the actual spinal cells, and then onto that artificial lattice, the real cells can attach themselves and start to rebuild again. If they can do that kind of science fiction stuff, what else can they do? And if they really want to cause harm to people, And in addition to that, why is it that they have made these documents so top secret, redacting everything in it, not even showing other politicians that? I mean, these are things that are like military secrets. Is it because this is a war? It's a war against us, and we're not allowed to see the kinds of science fiction capabilities that they have. But then if anybody looks at it under the microscope and says, hey, it looks like it's creating a latticework thing here. Oh, shut up. Yeah, that's just crazy. That's just crazy speculation. I've said many times, I'll say it again. The two mistakes that are really fatal to our society right now is to not realize what these people are technically capable of. I mean, we are at a point in time like the Tower of Babel where nothing that they seek to do is going to be withheld from them. They can basically do anything. They got tremendous amounts of money. They have overcome the language barriers. English has become kind of the lingua franca, ironically. Everybody speaks English, not French. But it has become kind of a universal language, and especially for scientists, even if they don't speak it, they can read it. And that's been that way for quite some time. They can read the technical papers, and they can, go through the math. They can go through the chemical stuff. And the interconnection and the way that they can exchange information is greater than ever before. And they're basically playing God. And there isn't anything that they can't ultimately do. And then what restrictions are there outside of capability? There's not any ethical or moral restrictions on what they're capable of doing, as I was just explaining to Fauci's experiments on orphan children. It's not just puppies. It's not just newly born babies or babies that they forced to be born to cut them apart while they're living. This is on young children who just happen to be orphans, who happen to be kidnapped by CPS or abandoned by parents or whatever. There's not anything that they are not capable of doing from a moral standpoint either. Just to give you an idea, I mean, this story that came up, and it was on the Drudge Report about the humanzees, and again, that was nothing. That was what it showed us was the mindset of people like Joseph Stalin and those who are in power. The fact that Joseph Stalin would have gotten a scientist and told him, I want you to breed an army of super soldiers that are going to be a cross between apes and humans. And that's what they tried to do. It was very primitive. It had no chance of succeeding at the time because they were not messing with DNA. With DNA, this is absolutely possible. You see, what people don't understand, I've had a lot of people say, well, what's the difference with genetically modified organisms? And, you know, look at dogs, for example, right? We can selectively breed dogs or plants or whatever, but dogs are a good example. You can get everything from a chihuahua to an Irish wolfhound, and you can breed them for all kinds of different characteristics and physical appearance and so forth. But that's done by selective breeding. And that's just by selecting for different genetic traits and doing selective breeding. When you get into manipulating the DNA, DNA is there for all animals. It's the common code building blocks that are there. And also for all plants, all living things, both plant and animal. And so you can combine characteristics of plants with animals by going in at the DNA level. And you certainly can create a human Z, which when I see these types of stories being put out, you wonder sometimes, well, is this just a sensational story that somebody wants to put out there? Or were they told to start to normalize this for the public since they're already doing this and they're ready to put it out? Because there's been a lot of work that's been done by the Chinese, by the U.S., into this very thing. And if you don't think this is already happening, you think this is something that was limited to Stalin's era, you're completely wrong. So they wanted to breed them with immense strength, but an underdeveloped brain, so they could just use them however they wanted to. I guess kind of like the Uruk-hai or the orcs or whatever from Lord of the Rings. And what they did with it was, it was very primitive. They said, oh, well, we can inject human sperm into female gorillas, and then we'll try it the other way. We will inseminate human women with the seed of primates. And, of course, that didn't work. But the guy who was doing it sold it to Stalin a couple of different ways. He said, not only can you, we make a invincible breed of Red Army soldiers for you and slave labor, but we can also prove once and for all that Darwin was right and that there is no God. And we are God, right? Well, God laughed. But when you look at people doing these types of horrific experiments and the types of things that Fauci did, this story really stuck out to me. Oklahoma University physician, they say, enrolled her baby in the Moderna vaccine trial. An assistant professor at the University of Oklahoma College of Medicine enrolled her one-year-old son in the Moderna trial. She said, quote, it's been really hard having a kid during an international pandemic. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's not what's been hard. Hard to take him out, not to go places, trying to avoid exposing him to people that might be sick when, as a physician, what kind of a physician is she? I mean, she's teaching other physicians, and she doesn't know. The kids have a statistically zero chance of getting anything. You're going to take your kid out in the public, you're going to be exposing that kid to a lot of things that are much greater risks than this. That's what life is about. You don't, you can't hide in a closet. Anyway, she said she decided, now that we're seeing more kids getting infected, are we? No, we're starting to see kids being damaged by these vaccines. I felt like it was really important to get him vaccinated as soon as I could. And saying that you know, she had hoped, since she got vaccinated when she was pregnant, she was hoping that she was able to spread antibodies to him. Actually, she didn't do it while she was pregnant. She got it 2 months after he was born. And so she would be passing those spikes along with any possible antibody. She'd be passing those Moderna Pfizer spikes along to him in the breast milk. We have seen that happen over and over again. Let's talk about some positive news here. We had the Oklahoma Guard, and listen to the way this is characterized in all the different branches of the military. They've got Army Times, and they got, you know, the Marines have got their own thing, the Air Force have got the, every single one of them had the same headline. Oklahoma Guard goes rogue. Rejects COVID vaccine mandate after sudden change of command. Well, he's not going rogue. What he's doing is he's defending the Constitution. He's doing exactly what he should be doing. The new commander, writes the military, the new commander of the Oklahoma National Guard has declared the organization will not enforce the department, Defense Department's vaccine mandates on its troops. Army Brigadier General Thomas Mancino has announced as the state's, was announced rather, as the state's new adjutant general on Wednesday, though he has not yet been confirmed by the state Senate. This may be a problem here. According to a press release from the governor's office, Governor Stitt of Oklahoma, on November the 2nd, Governor Stitt formally requested that DOD not enforce the mandate on the state's Army and National Guard members. In the letter, which his office posted online, he said that 10% of the state's troops had refused the vaccine and that the mandate was, quote, irresponsible. The Defense Department is aware of the Mancino memo and Stitt's letter and will respond to the governor appropriately, quote unquote, said a Pentagon spokesman. And he did not elaborate further. The day after taking the reins from the previous Army Major General, Michael Thompson, Mancino issued a policy memo declaring that the state would not enforce the mandate on its troops when they're under state control. The move is an apparent rejection of the Department of Defense's orders to discipline and ultimately discharge service members who reject the vaccine. Mancino said, no Oklahoma Guardsman will be required to take the COVID vaccine. His memo states that Stitt is the force's lawful commander-in-chief when they're not mobilized by the federal government. So it appears reading through the lines that Stitt has a great deal in terms of whether, I don't know why the other person left, but the Governor Stitt of Oklahoma, was looking for somebody that would agree with him on these mandates and oppose them. And they are doing so. Now, the way the federal government is responding is to say that they're going to jeopardize their funding if they do that. How many times have I said that? You know, it's about the declaration of the state of emergency. That's why I talk about 609 days since we had the national state of emergency declared with an executive order. That executive order declaring a national emergency triggered powers that states had given themselves in the wake of the dark winter simulations and the anthrax attack. So they put out some model state legislation. A lot of states enacted that in various ways. And so that declaration of emergency, repeated by a lot of governors, is the basis for this. And it's also the money that was released to the governors, the money that was released to the hospitals. And now, as the National Guard, Oklahoma National Guard, is saying, we're not going to do this, they say, well, then we're going to take away your funding. It's the same thing they do when you say, well, we're not going to put biological boys in the girls' showers and dressing rooms. They say, well, then we're going to take away money from you. That's how they control people. It's through the money. You need to understand that. If you understand that, then you understand how complicit, and not even complicit, but how much a part of and viable, you know, this was done by the Trump administration. He was the lead in this in terms of giving them the money. He wasn't a dupe standing by. He was pushing this by releasing the money. You have to understand how the government operates if you're going to check these dictatorial moves that are being made and not look the other way when it's a guy you like or a party that you support. You have to understand and look at this, look at what they do, look at how they operate. Every time it comes back to the money, every time, it's the money and it's
emergency. Everybody to get from street. Emergency. Everybody to get from street.
That's right. The initial lockdown. Emergency. Got to lighten it up a little bit here. Everybody to get from cities. In most instances, the guardsmen are in their Title 32 capacity, which means that they're on state duty. But in order to be federalized, they have to be on Title 10. So what they're saying is, you know, sometimes they're under state control, sometimes they're under federal control. So that's what they're saying. We're going to argue about these two different, you know, essentially the hats that they're wearing or whatever. That's, are we going to exercise that capability to order them around by the federal government while they're still under the state's command? So, again, a new Oklahoma National Guard commander, his first order of business, a memo formally rescinding the COVID vaccine mandates for National Guardsmen in Oklahoma. He said, quote, no Oklahoma Guardsmen will be required to take the COVID vaccine. And, again, saying that Stitt is the force's lawful commander-in-chief when they are not mobilized by the federal government. The clarified policy on COVID-19 vaccines for Oklahoma Army and Air National Guardsmen reflects the governor's ability to assert his command authority over the men and the women of the Oklahoma National Guard while they are within the state's borders. Now, that is coming from Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Legler. He is a spokesman for the Oklahoma National Guard, and so he is speaking in defense of that. When I saw that, I retweeted the article, even the one that said he's gone rogue. And I said, this guy is a hero. The oath to protect and to defend the Constitution. That's what the oath is about. And that's what he's doing. He's defending the Constitution, protecting it. And he's been the first one with any real authority to defend this against Biden's unconstitutional medical dictatorship. And kudos to Governor Stitt as well, because he's a part of that as well. Finding somebody who had the integrity, the backbone to stand up and to fight that. As Colonel Rob Manis, retired, said, the fight is on. They are not rogue. So this headline is misinformation. The headline from the Army Times, from the Air Force, from the Every branch of the military had the same headline. Another aspect of this that broke over the weekend. So you got in Oklahoma, you got the governor putting in a commander, a new commander of the National Guard says, we're not going to enforce this. While they're under the command of the governor, we will not put that vaccine mandate on the Oklahoma Guard. And look, it's important just to buy some time because I think this thing is ultimately going to fail in the courts. As we saw again, first there was a Fifth Circuit judge who stood against Biden's mandates, made some very strong statements against them. And now, as it was appealed, they had the Federal Appeals Court, the Fifth Circuit, reaffirmed that stay of Biden's vaccine mandate. Now, Biden has just said, well, I don't care what they say. I'm going to go ahead and do what I want, which, quite frankly, is his constitutional. What he is doing is unconstitutional to force this mandate. Let me just clarify that. What he is doing is reprehensible. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. But he does have the authority to ignore the court system because we have a division of power in the same way that Andrew Jackson did that. He said, well, they've made their decision. Let's see them enforce it. Andrew Jackson was wrong about what he wanted to do. That was when he did the Trail of Tears for the Cherokee. He was wrong about that, but he was right about saying, well, they don't have the capability to enforce this, and they can't stop me from doing it. That's the way the Constitution is designed. That's why I say that because we need to understand that this is not a win for Biden if we understand that. If you understand that we don't have a centralized government that is under the control solely of the judiciary, then that means that governors can nullify these unconstitutional power grabs that are being done left and right by these bureaucracies. It was the CDC that decided that they were going to tell people they could not evict or foreclose. They had no authority to do that. Just like OSHA has no authority to put in these vaccine mandates. And so we have to understand where the lines of authority are because we have a good plan. We should use it sometime. It's called the Constitution. So the Federal Appeals Court reaffirmed its earlier halt of Biden's vaccine mandate on private employers. Now, see, the other part of this is that if you persist on this, of course, the Republicans don't have the votes to do this, but if he were to persist and if the judiciary were to say, well, you don't have the authority to do that, and he says, well, that's fine, I'm going to do it anyway. At that point in time, if the Democrats didn't have a lock on Congress, Congress could impeach him for that type of thing. So there are different checks and balances that are there. But the key thing is that we need to understand the division of power, a division of power between the different branches, executive, legislative, and judicial. And there's also a break in, division of power between the federal government and the state government and the people. And we need to get back to those mechanisms. We don't even have jury trials anymore. We need to have jury trials so we can have jury nullification by the people of bad laws. And we need to have state governors, and they're starting to do this now. This is the good thing. The only good thing that's come out of this is that there's been a little bit of an awakening in terms of pushing back and trying to nullify what Biden is doing because he is so over the top. Now, we just hope that they don't go wobbly, because if they go wobbly, then we're really going to go down the path of Stalinism with Biden in place. Writing for a panel of judges at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, Judge Englehart described the mandate as, quote, fatally flawed, unquote. He said OSHA grossly exceeds its legal authority. He said, quote, health agencies do not make housing policy. Again, talking about the CDC. Health agencies do not make housing policy. And occupational safety administrations do not make health policy. See how they're misusing this? You have the CDC, a health agency, supposedly. And again, let's just take it for what it nominally is. Again, I know it's a private organization and so forth. Let's just say CDC is about health, right? So they should be making housing policy. And OSHA, which is a Occupational Safety Administration, should not be making health policy. These people are not allowed to just go out and start grabbing things and saying, that's mine. You know, we got a war going on here with these different agencies, and it's being pushed by the administration, being pushed out of Washington. And again, the CDC did that power grab under Trump, and they extended it under Trump, and then they extended it again and again under Biden, and yet again they were allowed to do it with Kavanaugh saying, well, they don't have any authority to do it, but they promised they'll stop at the end of the month. And guess what? He let them do it, and they didn't stop at the end of the month. And then they came back, and he voted to take that power out of their hand, and so did even John Roberts switch. So it was a 6-3 at that point in time. But anyway, this judge is exactly right. He says it raises serious constitutional concerns. The mandate is staggeringly overbroad, said the opinion from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. It raises serious constitutional concerns, likely exceeds the federal government's authority. The mandate is a one-size-fits-all sledgehammer that makes hardly any attempt to account for differences in workplaces and differences in workers. That's right. Boy, they nailed it. They nailed it. The public interest, they go on to write in this decision, the public interest is also served by maintaining our constitutional structure and maintaining the liberty of individuals to make intensely personal decisions according to their own convictions, even or perhaps particularly when those decisions frustrate government officials. But then the comment on this article says, before libertarians rejoice, keep in mind that the administration will now escalate its appeal to the Supreme Court, where surprises from so-called, quote-unquote, conservative supremes are certainly not excluded. That's right. It's like a box of chocolates, and you never know what you're going to get. We have the Forrest Gump conservatives that are there on the bench. And you have to ask yourself, what in the world are they trying to conserve? Other than the supremacy of the federal bureaucracy to do whatever they want. And conserving judicial supremacy as well. So again, staggeringly overbroad, they said. Rather than hand, this is more from the statement. I mean, they just nailed this. Rather than a delicately handled scalpel, it's a sledgehammer. That's exactly what it is. It has an attempt to account. There's no attempt to account for differences in workplaces and workers that have more than a little bearing on workers' varying degrees of susceptibility to the supposedly grave danger, and they put that in quotes. They don't believe it's an emergency, right? They don't believe that either. Even the leftist press says this delivered the policy a major blow. And then one CEO, so we've had a governor and the head of the Oklahoma National Guard, Governor Stitt, in Oklahoma, and the person he put in as head of the National Guard there, have said, we're not going to mandate it. You got the courts saying, this is insane. This is a sledgehammer, not a scalpel. This makes, you know, they don't have the authority to do this. It's overly broad. It's horrible, every aspect of it. And now you got a CEO who is speaking out. He says, I'm challenging the vaccine mandate to protect my workers' jobs. This is the CEO of an Ohio-based company, Phillips Manufacturing and Tower Company. The CEO is Angela Phillips. I said he, but it's a woman. The company is 54 years old. It's based out of Shelby, Ohio. They manufacture specialty welded steel tubing for automotive, appliance, and construction industries. The emergency rule from OSHA applies to companies with 100 or more employees. They said, at our Shelby welded tube facility, we employ 104 people. As a family-owned business, Angela Phillips says, I take the health of my workers seriously. They are my neighbors and my friends. When I heard of the mandate, we conducted a survey of our workers to see what the impacts would be. It revealed that 28 Phillips employees were fully vaccinated. So that's less than, you know, let's say 28%. They got 104 people. While antibody testing conducted at the company expense found another 16 employees have tested positive for COVID-19 antibodies and likely possess natural immunity. By the way, this is a disease that a lot of people have antibodies and natural immunity to, and they don't even know they ever got it. This is the quote-unquote grave danger, as the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals mocked. This is the grave danger for which we have now shut down every corner of the world. So they found 16% of the people had antibodies and had not been vaccinated. They found out that 28% had been fully vaccinated. So they said at least 47 employees have indicated that they will not and have not been vaccinated. 17 of those 47 said that they would quit or they would be fired before completing the vaccine or testing mandate. And they said those are 17 skilled workers that Philips cannot afford to lose. So this is the kind of company that you want to work for. And I know that this is a difficult situation. I'm not making light of it. Now, I understand that if you stand on principle and you get fired, that's a difficult thing. But ultimately, you have to look at, especially if you're a Christian, and if you're doing this for if you're doing this for ethical, moral concerns, if you're doing this to honor God, God will provide and honor. He'll provide for you, and he will honor you. That has always been the case. As David wrote in the Psalms, he said, I'm young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the godly forsaken or their children begging for bread. You can take that. I just have to say, even if you're not a Christian, who do you want to work for? Do you want to work for some of these corporations that are just itching to kick you out, to have an excuse to fire you? These people will never respect you. They will never reward you. They look at you as a replaceable widget. They have contempt for your humanity, for your freedom, for your dignity. Or do you want to work for somebody like Angela Phillips, who says, we're family-owned business. These are my neighbors and these are my friends. See, it's businesses like that that they have worked so hard to kill this last year during this Trump emergency extended with Biden. Biden is now taking it the next step, but it began by saying businesses like this are non-essential. There's not too many family-owned manufacturing businesses left around. And so good for them. They said, these are 17 skilled workers we cannot afford to lose. Perhaps, still reading Angela Phillips, perhaps the Biden administration remains unaware of the labor shortage currently plaguing the U.S. labor market generally. Well, of course they don't. They are very much aware of it. They don't care. Or they're exploiting this, or they want more of it. But I'm glad that she put that out there. So it's kind of a rhetorical comment there. Like many companies, Phillips is already understaffed with 7 job openings that we've been unable to fill. Employees already work overtime to keep pace with customer demand, working 10-hour shifts, 6 days a week on average. If I were to fire 17 veteran members of the Phillips team, that certainly wouldn't help. Accounting estimates that it will cost Phillips close to $1 million in addition to overtime and recruiting and training of new employees to replace those lost to the mandate, assuming that the company can find them. See, they actually did an economic analysis. Again, they try to make this about the money. If you don't do what we say, we'll take away your funding. We'll take away your Title 10 funding or Title 9, whatever it is with the transgender stuff. And then we'll take away the money from the federal government for your National Guard. And we'll do this and we'll do that. We'll take away money. Or we'll hit you with fines in case you're not getting any money. We'll hit you with fines of, $13,652 or something crazy like that. Or $136,000 and change, if you don't do it, we say. Well, she said, we've looked at it. It'll cost us about $1 million if we have to, because we're shorter in staff, we've got to have more overtime. We've got to recruit people. We've got to train people. It also assumes that Phillips will continue to meet existing customer orders, that we would be able to do that even if we paid for extra overtime, even if we could find other employees. And that's not easy. In terms of talking about the dollars and cents aspect of this, she said, if we're shorthanded, she said, many Phillips customers are outside of the U.S., primarily in Mexico, and they may go to foreign competitors, the companies with fewer than 100 workers that are not subject to these mandates and the shortages that it creates. In other words, if we can't, you know, if we're shorthanded, we're going to lose 17% of our workforce here of experienced people, and we're already short. If that were to happen and we can't fulfill orders on a timely basis, they might, because they're in a foreign country, they might go somewhere else. One Phillips contract, she said, for example, imposes a $25,000 penalty for each hour that the customer was without the promised product. They got a $25,000 per hour penalty if they can't do this in a timely way. Such obligations and penalties help to protect supply chains across the industry, but those obligations and the supply chains may soon be broken, and customers may soon go elsewhere, thanks to the Biden administration's callous new rule. OSHA's vaccine or testing ultimatum is unlike any other occupational health and safety regulation, inasmuch as it tries to regulate an employee's individual decision not to receive an injection. And it does not regulate commercial activity, inasmuch as employees, subject to the mandate, do not even pay for the vaccine. And so Angela Phillips says that her company, Phillips, is one company that is unwilling to do the administration's dirty work. That's exactly right. We've got to be unwilling to do their dirty work. Now, this is from a listener who writes in and says, my wife works at a Cleveland clinic. The clinic decided to enforce Biden's vaccine mandate starting the first week of January coming up. I attached a copy of their religious exemption, which they just issued. The questions are absurd. They're over the line. They do not ask questions like these for any other exemption. These questions are obviously designed to trip people up and have an excuse to fire freedom lovers. If you get a chance, please take a look at this document. If you have any pointers on what to write, I would appreciate it. My wife is terrified of losing her job, and it would be a major income loss to our family of six. So let me just say this, because this is the type of questions that we have seen before, but I think it bears repeating to go over the ways that they are attacking people. And I'll mention one thing that's not on here that I know is going to be coming up as a follow-up question as well. So the questions are, please describe the nature of your religious belief that conflicts with Cleveland Clinic's vaccine policy. Well, I've had examples, and I'll be happy if you want me to do that again. I can send that again, but I do have it on my social media site. Some people have asked me, and if you ask me, I will send that to you. I'll try to remember to send it to this listener directly as a pattern. But we had an excellent pattern that was written by an individual who's in the military. And I've got some other ones that I've put out as well. What he did was he addressed the issue about abortion and how it was used for research and development and or manufacturing of these vaccines. He also talked about the fact that it was altering the body. This is something that Moderna bragged about. They bragged about how they were going to turn your body into a vaccine manufacturing facility. Well, no thanks. I don't think that's something that that kind of abuse of my body. As a Christian, I believe that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to abuse it in that regard. And so that would be another thing that you could mention. And in that sample letter, he also discussed even the mark of the beast. He says, well, I don't necessarily think this is the mark of the beast. It is preparation for the mark of the beast. And if you were to include that, what you might say is the very fact that you are making this a requirement for me to have a job, and the government is making this a requirement to travel and to go to school, indicates that this is far closer to the mark of the beast, if in fact it isn't. It's far closer than anything that we've seen. So those three things, essentially, the abortion, the tainting of it, the cannibalism, you know, killing babies in order to do testing and to do manufacturing in some cases, the manipulation of your body's DNA or the mRNA, the manipulating of your body, and of course the mark of the beast preparation at the very least. The next question is, would complying with the vaccine policy substantially burden your religious exercise? Well, religious exercise means that you're able, as I understand, I mean, just practice your religion. So, yes, burdening your conscience and forcing you to do things that you don't believe are right, as you just pointed out in the previous step. You say, well, as I pointed out in the previous step, I have these different issues that I see as a conflict. And so if you're going to burden my conscience, of course, that burdens my religious exercise. Number four, how long have you held this religious belief underlying the request? Well, you could say I've always been opposed to abortion for ethical reasons. I'm opposed to the use of it to create profits and products. And so that has always been there, or as long as you've understood about abortion. I mean, it took me a while to understand it was partial birth abortion that got me to understand that they were lying about personhood and things like that. It was simply a prevarication. But you can answer that however you wish. But again, it comes back to those types of things. As an adult, number five, have you received any vaccines against any other diseases? Now, this is the one that they may do a follow-up, you know, where they have, this is something that's been going around, and it's a lie. After you do all this, they may come back to you with a follow-up question, say, here's 30 products based on somebody doing a internet search, and they looked for the HEK cell lines, and they looked for common products. And if they could see that somebody somewhere in time had tested their product against the HEK fetal cell lines that were developed in 1963, they said, see, this is developed this way. Now, one of them was aspirin, for example. Every one of these, except for three of them, predated 1963. They predated the existence of that cell line. So they had things like Pepto-Bismol and Exlax and aspirin, some common household products. They tried to say that those were developed using these fetal cell lines, except that they existed in many cases many, many decades, as much as 100 years, actually longer than that for aspirin, before these cell lines were created. And so they were not dependent on the creation of these cell lines. So be aware they may come back with that one. But when they say, have you used any other vaccines? I would just say, this is not like any other vaccine. This is changing my body to manufacture something, right? And you can say, and if I'm aware of any products that are created using aborted cells, then no, I do not use those. You could say, this is unlike any other vaccine, the way that it works. And it's also unlike any other vaccine in your obsession with making people take it and with your penalties of saying you will not have a life, you will not travel, you'll not go to school, you'll not have a job. This is unlike any other vaccine. You could turn that back around on them and you could say, have you ever required any other vaccine as a condition to do all of these things? That's another one of the things that makes me think that this is preparation for the mark of the beast, if that isn't in fact what it is already. Goes on and says, if Cleveland Clinic grants you an exemption from the COVID vaccine policy, please describe the accommodation you're requesting in lieu of compliance of the COVID-19 vaccine policy. Now, the sample letter, the person in the military mentioned, said, I'll be happy to, and made some offers to wear masks or to social distance or to these, and that's up to you whether you want to do that. But you know, another aspect that you might want to do, that was done before we had the statements by Walensky at the CDC, by the UK's preeminent medical journal, The Lancet, by Bill Gates, the World Health Organization, numerous other studies showing that transmission is no different for the vaxxed or the unvaxxed. So I'm a little bit more combative. What I would do is I would say, well, because we have these studies, and you could mention some of these studies, I don't understand your policy, and I don't understand why, as an unvaccinated person, since there's no difference in transmission between the vaccinated and unvaccinated, I don't understand why I would be treated any differently, if you want to be combative. That's up to you. If you're combative, you might get fired like me. So that, just take that as a, if you want to take a stand on principle, you can expect in the world that we're living in today that somebody's going to fire you or ban you from all kinds of places. So, but that's just where I am. I'm not necessarily recommending that you do that, but I think to put it back on them and say, have you ever done this with a vaccine? Say, well, have you ever done this with a vaccine before? Have you ever made any other vaccine the key to living life everywhere and forcing it on everybody? No, you've never done this before. So why are you doing this? And why are you treating me any different from any of the vaccinated people? Because The CDC has said, Lancet has said, and Gates has said, and all these people have said that there is no difference in transmission. So why am I being singled out to be punished? Why are you pushing vaccine products on me? Please provide any additional information that you think may be helpful in reviewing this request. And again, this is where I would be, and I'm not saying that you should do this. But if somebody wants to get combative, just saying, well, here's some additional information for you. You are asking me about my religious beliefs, and you should be aware that that is a violation not only of the First Amendment, but it's also a violation of various laws like the Civil Rights Act of 1963, the Religious Freedom and Restoration Act. I don't know the date of that. That's like in the 90s, and many other statutes. As a Christian, I'm happy to give you an answer for what I believe. But I also understand there is no legal justification for these mandates, and I will be happy to pursue any legal remedies in case you decide not to honor my religious beliefs. I don't need to provide you with a litmus test. My religious beliefs under law are not to be questioned by employers. I'm not to be discriminated against by employers for my religious beliefs. Just so we're both on the same page. This is why I get fired. Why COVID vaccine mandates are completely nonsensical. Again, another article from Steve Kirsch. He says they're unnecessary because the protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use a protection that didn't protect the protected. Do you get it? But this is from a study from UC Davis and University of California, San Francisco authors, October 5th this year. Quote, no significant difference in viral loads between vaccinated and unvaccinated. Asymptomatic and symptomatic groups infected with the Delta variant. The data gathered in this study during the surge of the Delta variant strongly supports the notion that neither vaccine status nor the presence or absence of symptoms should influence recommendation and the implementation of good public health practices, including mask wearing, testing, social distancing, and other measures designed to mitigate the spread of SARS-CoV-2. So there's a study for you right there. I'll give you the title again. You might want to reference that and point out this has also been echoed by many other organizations, but this particular one out of UC Davis and University of California, San Francisco. No significant difference in viral load between vaccinated and unvaccinated, asymptomatic and symptomatic groups. That's really all you need. The comment from Steve Kirsch says, we're basing public health practices on vaccination status, and that is nonsensical. Again, going back to RFK Jr., and I played that clip from him before we went to break. He said in a speech to people at the Weston A. Price Foundation annual conference in Allen, Texas, he said, this is the hill that we will die on. He also had, speaking there, was president of the Children's Health Defense Fund. So he's the chairman. The president is Mary Holland. What she said was, we have the urgency of, quote, keeping the light of the human spirit, human rights, and democracy alive. And Mary Holland said, this is about the world that we give to our children. RFK Jr. said, ordinarily, I don't ask people to quit their jobs and make a spectacle of themselves. Many others have. But, you know, he has risen to the occasion and he has paid the price. He's been vilified everywhere, hated everywhere. It's cost him a great deal as well. Anyway, it says there's worse things than death, and this is the hill that we die on. As he explains in his book coming out tomorrow, Fauci, and the book is The Real Anthony Fauci, Fauci is, quote, a dangerous charlatan who has for decades been only too happy to serve as the nation's powerful Milgram-like authority figure. Oh, I like that. I like that phrase. Milgram-like authority figure. Do you know what he's referencing there, right? The Milgram experiment. That was the experiment, and actually they kind of hearkened back to it in a comical way. The beginning of Ghostbusters, you got Bill Murray he doesn't like this guy who's, he likes a girl, but he doesn't like this other guy. And so he's ramping up electric charges to the guy as he's guessing things and getting them wrong. Even when he gets them right, he gives them electrical charge. But the Milgram experiment was one that was done back in the early 60s. And good job, Travis. And what they did was they had an authority figure, and they weren't actually delivering electrical shocks to the subject. That was an actor who was pretending to be shocked. And what Milgram would do, just to see if people would obey authority, he would tell, you know, they would do certain things, and on the basis of a wrong answer or whatever, they would administer an electric charge, and the person would react, oh, ouch, you know. And they were not getting shocked. And then they would continue on with the experiment, and as they did, they would up the electrical charge. And it was a test to see how far people would go to obey authority. Just as we saw with the Nuremberg trials, people would say, well, I was just obeying orders, right? And they found that, about two-thirds of the people would go up to a fatal dosage. And they found the same thing decades later. They took this Milgram experiment, and they did it as kind of a game show, kind of quasi-game show documentary. They called it The Game of Death, and they did it in France. And the audience was not in on the gag either. And but they found the same thing there. And they've done this in a lot of different cultures. And they found that for the most part, people do whatever the authority figure tells them, including, you know, not just harming somebody, but even killing them in many cases. A sizable percentage of the people will. And so that's absolutely appropriate for RFK Jr. to say that Fauci has become a powerful Milgram-like authority figure. He is a sadistic psychopath, and people are following his orders. It's just disgusting to see what he does to babies, to orphans, to puppies, I mean, you know, and to all of humanity. I mean, we don't just care about puppies and babies and orphans. They are helpless and should be protected. That's why we pay more attention to that. In discussing the wider threats to freedom that Americans are now facing, Kennedy also invoked the famous 1961 speech by President Eisenhower on the military-industrial complex. This is a military, this is a medical-industrial complex, a pharmaceutical-industrial complex. In her speech, Mary Holland, the president, said where we're headed and what we can do about it. She said the push to inject children is child sacrifice, with tyrants and pharma going after all the children of the world. And more good news. Rick DeSantis appointed as the Florida Surgeon General, and I've talked about this guy before and some of the great comments that he made. His name is Latipo. He said, we can expect more of the same and worse if people don't speak up against these vaccine mandates. This is the Surgeon General in Florida. He said, I really think people do need to stand up and stand for what they believe to be true. He said, when asked what advice he would give to Americans who are facing mandates that could potentially impact their lives and their livelihoods. He said, I mean, I think that unfortunately, part of the reason that we've gotten to the place where we now are is where people who once said on the record that you couldn't force people to take the vaccine for COVID-19 are now saying just the opposite thing. That in fact, not only can you, but you should force people to take this vaccine. I think that part of the reason that has been happened is because enough people have not been outspoken about their rights. That's how we got here. This has been 609 days happening before we got upset about this. This is why you have to understand where the principles are. You have to understand when the principles have been violated that you oppose that, even if you like the person, even if the person has done a lot of good things, even if the other people that oppose him and the other political party are known bad actors. You have to oppose this when Trump does it. Because if you don't oppose it when Trump does it, that's why they put people like Trump in place. So they'll put a pacifier in your mouth. And when you put a pacifier in your mouth and you let this happen, you get to the point where we are today, where you got tens of millions of people about to lose their job or get injected with a very dangerous mRNA vaccine. He said, so I think that these medical decisions are for people to make. I think that goes for everything, from mask mandates to now these vaccine mandates and the vaccine passports. And you see, there are people like this, Florida Surgeon General Latipo. There were people like this available to Trump. He chose not to use him. He chose to follow Fauci. And he did follow Fauci. He did everything that Fauci said. You know, in that interview with Judge Jeanine, he says, well, you said that. I opposed everything that he told me to do. And all he talks about, as an example, he said, well, Fauci didn't want me to close the borders. I closed the borders. I saved lives. Well, Fauci wanted you to approve a vaccine at warp speed. He pushed the Moderna to you. And you did the little dog and pony show. And you were the one who was threatening people in order to enact Fauci's rush to produce these vaccines. As a matter of fact, Trump said that he got sick with COVID, and he took remdesivir, not hydroxychloroquine, not ivermectin. He took remdesivir. What does that tell you? And then, after he said that he had been sick with it and had recovered, he still got vaccinated, he said, after that. Now, I don't know if he did or not. I don't trust any of these politicians who say they got vaccinated. Anyway, says goes on. This is the Florida Surgeon General. He says, and I think that if people who don't agree that it's the appropriate approach, the appropriate policy approach, the appropriate health policy approach to these problems, if they don't speak up, we can expect more of the same and worse. So I think it's time for people to speak up. This is not about an improvement of health. This is wearing thin. He said when Biden says that his patience is wearing thin with the unvaccinated, he says this is not about improvement of health. This is promoting division. And what's worse is that it basically demonstrates no respect for human rights or human autonomy or the right of people to make health decisions, which they really do have. He said, explained that some public health officials have successfully convinced Americans that, quote, they don't have permission to make decisions about their health. This is why a lot of people who have been vaccinated are pushing back on this. They say, wait a minute, I made that decision to take the vaccine, but I don't want that decision taken away from me in the future. I should be able to make the decisions about my health. But now you have a large percentage of the world that's been told that we don't have any say in what we're going to be given. For the longest time, and I've said this when I oppose the, and I always have opposed the FDA, its very existence I oppose. I oppose its very existence for constitutional reasons, but also for pragmatic reasons. I said, if they can tell you what you cannot have, they will eventually tell you what you must have. If you don't have the freedom and autonomy to make these kinds of personal decisions, if they're going to be made by the government on your behalf without your say-so or your input and saying you can't have this cancer therapy, for example, they'll eventually tell you what you must have. And that's now come true. The Florida Surgeon General goes on to say, and instead, they just have to agree and go along with whatever they're saying, whatever these health officials are saying, and it's just terrible. I think anyone who cares about civil liberties would have to be alarmed at the fact that they're determined to impose these one-size-fits-all health decisions on everyone. Not only is it an affront to human rights, it is also scientifically just ridiculous. The difference, for example, immortality between children and older people from COVID is literally 1,000-fold. There's literally the risk is 1,000 times higher for older people than it is for children. So it's just not sensible. And again, it's really disrespectful and harmful to human rights and to human dignity. We'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and roll is competing.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
All right, I just want to say thank you to the many people who have contributed and to have helped us, and we've updated the gas gauge at thedavidknightshow.com. You can see that there. And it is over 50%, and so I really do appreciate people. We're on pace for this month now. Things, you know, it comes and goes through the month, and sometimes it's a little bit slow getting started, but we're now up to, actually, it's a little bit over 50%. We've got it set up so it's an eighth, so we don't have it. But it's a little bit over 50%. And I just want to give a shout-out to some of the people who have donated. Mike G., thank you so much for that. Deb and Dell, very generous. Thank you, Deb and Dell. Susan L., Darren G., David and Gwen sent a very nice card. I've got that right here. And ask a question. I'll get to those in a minute. Tina G., Helen T., Chris W., Bob E., Robert C., James P., Juliana C., and these are people that sent things in by mail, and many of the people who've sent stuff via Zelle. We've had some people say they've had a problem with Zelle, but we have been able to get that, and many of the same people have been contributing there on a regular basis. I don't have them listed. I'll mention them tomorrow, but I just want to say thank you to them, and thank you to the people who sent things by mail. One from MJ, North Pole, Alaska. Thank you so much for the card, and especially for the generous contribution. Some of it, this is from Gwen and Dave, and they asked, sometime would love it if you had a time to post or to email out a list of all the treacherous acts by Trump when he held office, or maybe you could state them so that we could make a list. I need to write some articles because I really want to write something about how the emergency was and remains the central thing. But the big issues that I had with Trump, you know, when I looked at what Trump was doing, and again, before the election, my take on it was the same as Julian Assange. We know what Hillary Clinton is. We know she's evil. We know she's a warmonger. We know she's a criminal. And we don't know what Trump is. You know, there was some red flags in his history in terms of character flaws, major character flaws, criminal connections and things like that. But still, wasn't necessarily a given. And as the administration began, you could see that he was picking people that were antithetical to everything that he had campaigned on. You know, the Goldman Sachs bankers, Cohen, who was given a golden parachute of probably $250 million, somewhere in that area, early payment to go into the Trump administration. Nothing suspicious there. Nothing to see. All the people that he was bringing in that were warmongers that he said he was against, the bankers that he, you know, lined his cabinet with, and so on. You know, people like Rex Tillerson, who was for this radical environmentalism. So there was a lot of indications from the people that he put in that he was going to do exactly the opposite of what he'd campaigned on. And so that was worrisome, especially when he actually went in opposite directions from what he campaigned on. But it was really this lockdown that was the catalyst for it. Prior to that, the two major things that I was very concerned about were the red flag. You know, I went to take the guns and do the due process later. You all remember that. As well as doing gun control by executive order with the bump stocks. And then taking away religious and medical exemptions in the spring of 2019. And then when we were locked down and the vaccines were created, and the massive amounts of money that were given to the pharmaceutical, that was when it was like, hey, it's over. This guy is on the other team, no doubt about it. Some of the other notes that I got, again, thank you to Deb and Dell, a very generous contribution. I won't read the nice comments that they put there. It's just, it is personal encouragement to me. And I wanted to say that Tina and Mike said, thank you. Your show has helped us help our sons to get their religious exemptions at GE. So I'm really glad to hear that when I hear that type of thing. I'm glad to know that it's been of some help. And a lot of it has just been me passing along information that other listeners have sent in. Good examples of the religious exemptions. And I just want to encourage everybody, you know, don't give up. A lot of people had the nurse who was, I can't remember what state she was in. Maybe it was in Montana. But it was, maybe it wasn't Montana. But she had said that the hospital was requiring it. And she said that she had gotten her medical exemption, or religious exemption, I should say, and had helped seven others to get a religious exemption. But she said many people had just given up in despair and said, well, they're not going to honor it, and went ahead and got the vaccine. So do everything that you can. And, you know, it's a difficult time for everybody. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who has sent that in. And this is going to be a time where it's going to be a difficult time for us, but I think we're going to come out the other side better. I honestly do. Let's talk a little bit about New World Orders, because things are looking bad in Austria, but the people there, as you've got the Austrian government, it should have got Adolf Hitler here. They've kind of done an Anschluss with Big Pharma, and they're saying, you will not leave your apartment. And today is the day that lockdowns began for millions of unvaccinated people in Austria. This is what they did this weekend. Look at that. Protesting. As far as you can see, people filling the streets. That is a very positive sign. That is in Austria. So today they're going to tell the Austrians, hey, if you are 12 or older, you're not going to get out unless you're vaccinated. Oh, really? Okay, well, let's have another one of these rallies. Since they've got nothing to do, no job to go to, they should take to the streets and do this right now. Right now. In reality, said the chancellor, Alexander Schallenberg, he said, in reality, we have told one-third of the population you will not leave your apartment anymore, apart for certain reasons. I mean, he's not even ashamed of that. Yeah, we've told a third of the population you're under arrest, under house arrest. I mean, just stop and think how far we've gotten. This is why I was furious with Trump and the rest of these people around the world, but especially Trump. You know, this fake idea that he's against the globalists. And by the way, it was in Austria where they also had a young guy, Sebastian Kurz. I remember shortly after Trump was elected in 2016, they're saying, oh, look, you know, we got a bunch of populist nationalist people who are going to stand against the globalists. You got Trump in America. You got Sebastian Kurz in Austria. No. Not the five-star or the league in Italy. No. They've all capitulated to the globalist vaccine agenda. They have. And they're not even ashamed of it. They're not even ashamed to lock people down. I mean, think about the idea that we had a president who said he's against the globalist, who said he was proud of America and about the, you know, he stands for the middle class, telling the middle class they're non-essential. Only the big box, politically connected, Wall Street connected people are allowed to continue. All of you who are entrepreneurs, who have service businesses, no, you're not essential. You're gone. And so this proud dictator in Austria, we've had other proud dictators from Austria too, haven't we? He says, this is a massive reduction in contacts between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. This is not based on science. This is not based on medicine. I'm just telling you about how there's been study after study after study showing that there is no difference in transmission between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. The California study even went so far as to say between the symptomatic and the asymptomatic with the Delta variant, the so-called magic Delta variant. So beginning today, the lockdown will extend restrictions in Austria that were reduced on November the 5th. On November the 5th, they banned the unvaccinated from going to restaurants, hotels, theaters, ski lifts, outdoor ski lifts, and other public venues. Now, people who have not been vaccinated are going, by the millions, a third of the population, ordered out of society. And again, we see in place after place in Australia. Yeah, it's people get Australia and Austria mixed up, but you know what? It's going to be even harder to tell now because they both jumped into this kind of a Nazi society. So nationwide lockdown for the unvaccinated. But you know, it's kind of interesting that even in Austria, we're saying everybody's under house arrest if you're not vaccinated. Even there, the Nazis don't jab children under 12, but we do here. We go all the way down to 5, and we're going further down now, working on it right now. Just, you know, got to go through some little hand-waving, and then they'll be rubber-stamped by our psychopath, Fauci. A group of demonstrators, as you just saw there, holding placards, read no to compulsory vaccination. Big anti-vax protest in Vienna. Those who are unable to prove that they have recovered from COVID in the last 6 months, they're only recognizing natural immunity for 6 months. What a joke that is. Their vaccines don't last, if they even work. They don't last for more than a couple of months. Natural immunity lasts for a lifetime. They've already had a lot of, as long as they've been testing this, they say, yeah, people have gotten a natural immunity, they're fine. But they're only going to count it for the first 6 months. So if you're not able to prove that you recovered in the past 180 days, you will not be allowed to leave your home for reasons such as work, exercise, can't get out for exercising, necessary shopping. Oh, I'm sorry, those are things that you will be able to get out for. So again, you know, they're Nazis, but in many regards, they're not as authoritarian as Biden is, because Biden wants to inject kids under 12. So even though they'll make exceptions for work, exercise, and necessary shopping or a doctor's visit, Austrian authorities said they'll make it possible for the unvaccinated and those not recovered from COVID to have satisfaction of basic religious needs. Oh, will they? Really? Well, they will determine what satisfies your religious needs and your education. They will determine that as well. So they've exempted children under 12 and pregnant women. Again, they're going pretty hard for pregnant women here in the U.S. as well as very, very young children. This is initially valid for only 10 days. So this is a test. This is a test of the will of the people of Austria if they will put up with this kind of tyranny. So they're going to do it for 10 days and see how you react. So you better get out of your houses and disobey this. So the chancellor, listen to what he had to say. For me, it is clear. There should be no lockdown of the vaccinated. But we have to do this for the unvaccinated. Because if we didn't do it for the unvaccinated, it would destroy the incentive to vaccinate. So that's all that matters anymore. This is not about, there is no emergency. There's no emergency anymore. And they know it. I mean, even here in California-style Austin, when I go around, nobody's wearing masks anymore. I mean, I didn't think I'd ever see their faces. They were running around like scared to death with masks all over their faces last year. And now I'm not seeing anybody wearing masks. Well, occasionally I see one person wearing masks. It's very, very, very rare to see somebody wearing a mask. 6 months ago, it was just the opposite. So things have completely turned around. People are going to sporting events. People are traveling and doing all these types of things. As far as everybody's concerned, even the politicians that are forcing these vaccines on us, they're not having people wear masks. They're not doing social distancing with their campaigns. You've seen it with Biden. You've seen it with these other politicians who are pushing the mandates. Everybody is over this. So why are they locking people down? Well, as the Austrian chancellor says, it's to give them an incentive to vaccinate. This is not about an emergency. It's simply about getting everybody vaccinated. So when I saw this, I tweeted it out. I said, well, today it's house arrest, But if we don't stop this tomorrow, it will be concentration camps. This kind of fear, this kind of hatred, this kind of fascism must not be tolerated. Big Pharma has taken over the world. Everybody at the top gets power and profits by mandating products for which no one has any liability. And, of course, these people in Austria, they have now put together an Anschluss with the big pharmaceutical dictators. So, as this is rolling out, in Austria, they have their PCR system tricked. So, a state-supported COVID-19 PCR test system, touted as one of the best in Austria, was revealed to have glaring security issues after a journalist tricked it into issuing a negative test certificate to a cartoon character. Papa Smurf has not contracted COVID-19. This story is on RT. That is according to Olis Gergalt, a rapid test system. I don't know. Maybe what they ought to do is they ought to call it Uber always, right? Instead of Deutschland, Deutschland Uber. It is the pharmaceutical dictators that are taking over the world. Die Welt. Anyway, they have a rapid test system called Alles Gergelt, instead of Pharma Uber Alles. Used in the Austrian capital of Vienna, the project, backed by the government of Vienna, offers free home tests. And they recently issued a COVID-19 certificate to the fictional cartoon character Papa Smurf. It's operated by an Austrian company. It allows for people to pick up test kits at the shop and test themselves at home after registering with a special app. Verification involves filming yourself, gargling the test solution, and sending the sample bottle back to the lab. And this is something that's not just done in Austria. I was just talking to someone who had been in I'll just say a Central American country. And there you take the PCR test and you have to do it with have to do it on video, like on a Zoom thing. And he said, so we were having problems with bandwidth. And so they just said, all right, just we'll just do it and we'll record the audio. So this is kind of the same type of thing. You know, they're supposed to watch you get the thing and then stick it in the receptor. I don't know if it's wired up where it does the analysis and transmits it right then is what the watching people do it is all about. But since they couldn't get video, they said, all right, we'll just do it as an audio. That's an audio thing. And that's basically what happened here. So this guy registered under his real name, the journalist, but instead of filming himself gargling it, he filmed an image of Papa Smurf, and he filled the sample bottle with tap water. Apparently, nobody saw the video since he successfully received a certificate. Everything about it was a joke. And see, that's one of the key things. When we talked about these vaccine certificates and mandates, one of the things to keep in mind is, you know, there's going to be some situations where you know, you don't want to be stupid. You don't want to try to skirt the system for something that's trivial because they do have the ability to hit you with fines and imprisonment and all kinds of penalties. But if it is something that is extremely dangerous and you understand they have real, they don't have an authority to do this, that in many cases, the people who are going to be the gatekeepers on this, they don't really care to scrutinize your past. So just you wave something at them. Oh, yeah, okay, go ahead. I don't care, whatever, you know. And that's the way this is with these PCR tests that they're doing. Obviously, these people don't really care. So Papa Smurf can get it, or you can just say, well, I'm having bandwidth issues. He crackle a some kind of a piece of paper right there on the microphone, and they'll let you do it with audio, I guess. German leaders, not to be left behind Austria, they want to impose national restrictions on the unvaccinated as well. Oh, yes. It just appeals to the natural instincts of these people in Germany, their natural authoritarian instincts. It's like blood in the water for them to start bossing people around and to create segment of society that they can demonize and blame for all of the ills of society. It's just just built into their nature, I guess. So the German state health ministers have called to extend the state of emergency.
And, emergency!
That's right, everybody to get from city. Emergency in Germany. In Australia, thousands of people still marching against Victoria's COVID powers, and this is what is necessary. You got to do it on a regular basis. You got to keep doing it. Kill the bill, they said. Harsh measures are becoming an unsustainable way for politicians to govern Australia, as increasing discontent among Australians is seen as they take to the streets in Melbourne. Victoria police did not reveal the crowd size, but judging from pictures and video on social media, thousands of demonstrators lined the streets of Melbourne's central business district. They peacefully protested the Victorian government's new proposed pandemic powers and vaccine measures, and this is happening more and more frequently. The police, after finally not attacking people, have just kind of backed off and not even shown up. So that's a really good sign. Public health or private wealth? How digital vaccine passports pave the way for unprecedented surveillance capitalism. Well, I'm not going to read the article to you or give you any excerpts from it, but that is essentially what is happening. You know, they privatize the profits. They socialize the risks. I mean, this is what happened essentially in the big meltdown in the mid-2000s, but it's actually much, much bigger now. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the fact that we had over the weekend, we had Christianity trending. I thought, what in the world is that trending on? And it was trending because Flynn was also trending, and it's something that he had to say at one of these, you know, dog and pony rallies that are going around the country, kind of a QAnon type of thing. We'll tell you what was said when we come back, and we'll also talk a little bit about some headline news. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
All right, I want to play for you a clip which got everybody excited on Twitter, and there was a lot of attack on Christians because of the comments of Michael Flynn. Let me just play the comments for you first.
And they're talking about the United States of America. Talking about the United States of America, because when Matthew mentioned it in the Bible, he wasn't talking about the physical ground that he was on. He was talking about something in the distance. So if we are going to have one nation under God, which we must, we have to have one religion, one nation under God, and one religion under God, right? All of us together, working together.
Oh, really? Okay. And so does he nominate himself to define what that religion is and to be the leader of that religion? Is that what this is really about? You notice that he didn't say Christianity. Christianity was implied, evidently, by some of the other comments that he was making, but he didn't actually come out and say, we need to have one nation under God, one nation under Christ. He didn't say that. He said, we got to have one religion for the one nation under God. Well, we've never had that in America. We never wanted that in America. As a matter of fact, America was founded for religious liberty, and we never wanted to have a single state religion. That's precisely why we have the First Amendment. Understand, when we talk about establishment of religion, the people who came here to escape religious persecution, and that was one of, if not the most important impetus of people coming to America in the first place, the Pilgrims in 1620 and many, many others. When they came, each of these different states were set up, and they did have an established religion. So you'd have in Maryland, it'd be Catholic. In Rhode Island, it'd be Baptist. And the New England states, a lot of them were Congregationalist or whatever. And so you had these different states had different established religion. What did that mean? Well, that meant that you were, in some situations, the established religion, they required you to attend, but they always required you to pay them. And so some of them, they didn't require your attendance, but they still required you to pay them. Well, the reason we have the First Amendment is because even though the 13 states, the 13 sovereign states that created the federal government, they all had established religions, and they didn't want to have any of the other religions picked to be the established religion. In other words, the Baptists didn't want to have Catholicism established as a state religion, and so forth, right, back and forth. Vice versa. So they said, we will not have a federal established religion. Nevertheless, the established state religions persisted in New England and several other states persisted into the 1840s, even though the Constitution and Bill of Rights was done in 1789. They still went into like 1830, 1840, still had in Massachusetts an established state religion. But that's what that was about. So basically what Flynn is calling for is expressly prohibited in the First Amendment. And even more importantly, his comments have nothing to do with Christianity. I've said many times that while we want to see a religious revival, that you're not going to have a forced... What he's talking about is a religion that is forced on you from the outside in. A religion that is forced on you from the top down, from the government. That is not anything we want to even come close to. Nothing at all. I mean, we need to, our country has is in rebellion to God in every way that you can imagine. Our greed, our idolatry, our sexual depravity, purging God out of the public space, attacking churches and so forth, it's become very hostile to the free expression of religion that is protected. But if we're going to change this nation, it's going to be one person at a time. It's going to be from the inside out. It's going to be a person-by-person conversion. It's not something that we're going to force from the outside. And I think it is consistent with the principles of this country. It certainly is articulated very well by Abraham Kuyper, when he talked about different spheres of authority. Abraham Kuyper was at the Netherlands. He was a prime minister. He was also a pastor. And he said, we want to have different spheres of authority. We want to have the family. That's a unique thing over here. And you should not interfere with the family unless there's something really bad going on in the family, unless the, you know, the father or the parents have abused their authority. You stay out of the family. And then we have the church over here, and unless the church is abusing its authority and harming people or something, you stay away from the church. You leave them alone. And then the government is over here in another sphere and so forth. And so, you know, there can be influences that pass back and forth. But in terms of violating those different spheres of authority, we want to have that separated and the same. And that type of thing is exactly what we see in the structure of our government. You know, having different spheres of authority that are there as checks and balances at the federal level, and then splitting that authority between the federal government and the state government and the people. They wanted to keep power from being consolidated, and that is something we should be very concerned about for religious purposes. You see these people that are going to these Reawaken America events. This is like a QAnon thing, and this is in San Antonio, Texas. And when I see these people that are there and these people that are tweeting about it, you know, they're talking about, well, we need to have a Judeo-Christian country and everything. Well, do you even understand what you're talking about? I mean, we go from Reform, talk about Judaism. We go from Reform to Orthodox. I mean, we're talking about a big spread of different beliefs. Or you can talk about you can talk about on Christian side. We go from Methodists to Mennonites. I mean, you've got such a wide spectrum here. Who are you going to pick in your Judeo-Christian? Who is it that's going to win? What we stand for is the free exercise of religion. What we stand for is to keep government out of our lives. You know, in the middle of the 20th century, the Supreme Court focused on a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptists in Rhode Island. They were concerned because of fake news from John Adams that Thomas Jefferson was going to take everybody's Bibles, because everybody knew that Thomas Jefferson was going through and cutting out all the supernatural stuff that was in the Bible. He just saw Jesus as a good moral teacher. Major error. As C.S. Lewis said, well, either Jesus is, he's either a lunatic who thinks he's God, or he's a liar who knows he's not God and tells everybody that, or he actually is Lord, right? He's either liar, lunatic, or Lord. Well, I guess I don't know which category Thomas Jefferson would put him in, but he wanted to take out all supernatural aspects of it. And so that got a lot of people concerned about whether he was going to try to enforce that religion on people. And that was exploited by John Adams. And so when he became president, they had the Danbury Baptists send him a letter. And he said, no, rest assured, there is a wall of separation between the government and your churches. And what he meant by that was it was a wall that walled him in at the federal government. In other words, there's a wall around me. Now what we've done is we put that wall around the churches. And we said, you don't exercise your religion in public. You keep that inside that wall. You're not supposed to get out. And in many cases, we unfortunately let them do that. You know, they put a wall around us. They put a gate on it. But Jesus said, you know, the gates of hell will not prevail against this. In other words, we're to go on the offensive. We're not supposed to be defensive. We're not supposed to be locked up. And they can't really lock you up if you are a believing Christian. You're not going to be sidelined like that. But again, when Flynn says, if we're going to have one nation under God, we have to have one religion. No. One nation under God and one religion under God. And he had made some references, I guess, you know, people were assuming that he was talking about Christianity, because he said before that, he said in terms of talking about what had happened with Steve Bannon, he said, this is abuse of freedom of speech in the First Amendment. Well, he just called for the First Amendment to be overthrown, didn't he? He said, what is happening to Steve Bannon, this is the crucifixion of our First Amendment freedom. And Nancy Pelosi called Pontius Pilate. That's about as close as he got to referring to Jesus in all this. So I don't follow Christianity. I follow Christ. And if he can't say the name, I'm not following this guy. I was very sympathetic to Flynn when he was attacked at the beginning. I thought he was unjustly treated. And I still think he was unjustly treated. But just because you got somebody who is unjustly treated, that does not make them right. You know, we should support due process for anybody, whether we agree with him or not. But after he has beaten the rap, after he got his, you know, got out of this thing, got his pardon, he's become a very disruptive, divisive person. He is promoting some very dangerous things. He's promoting revolution, if anybody is promoting it. And he is also promoting this. One of the reasons that he's doing this is because he was on the defensive. He had already gone to one of these other events. And by the way, this Reawaken America tour, they say it had Flynn, Roger Stone, My Pillows, Mike Lindell, and Alex Jones were all there. I just got to say, just beware of this new age religion stuff. You know, I've seen this over and over again. As a matter of fact, you had some experience with that too, didn't you, Travis, with Alex? You know, this whole thing, we're going to go to the stars. We got ancestral communications, and then the whole stuff. He said something to you, didn't he, about, you know, God being a space alien or something like that?
Yeah, kind of something like that. I got called in to do some filming one day after hours, and he was talking to some other people. He was talking about, you know, Ezekiel and, you know, the wheels within wheels. Oh, yeah. And how that's all space aliens, and, you know, people don't really know what's in the Bible. They think they do, but they need to look for the secret codes and all that sort of stuff. Like, well, I think the main point of the Bible is the gospel, and hiding secret codes in there might defeat that purpose, so I think you're just poking around for things that don't exist.
Well, he said things like they've had reports such as, and I've had people contact me on this and say, look, I don't tell other people, certainly when I was there, couldn't tell anybody what to put or not. But, you know, there was a report up, and I had several people contact me, and it was like, in this report, this reporter is saying that Jehovah is just a name for a space alien, you know. And it's just an extraterrestrial visit. Well, yeah, he is extraterrestrial, that is for sure. He is beyond the Earth. But this is just kind of a New Age syncretism. You know, all this stuff about my ancestors, we're going to go to the stars and all this kind of, this is just mixing in a bunch of New Age garbage. And this is what Trump had already done, which was what he was trying to push back against. And I think he just overcompensated, frankly. What he had said, if you go back and you look at back in the beginning of September, and I mentioned this when it happened. I thought it was pretty outrageous what he said. He went to one of these meetings that was held at a church. It was Lord of Hosts Church in Omaha, Nebraska. And he led a prayer there. And as part of his benediction, he said, we are your instrument of your sevenfold rays and all your archangels, all of them. And we will not retreat, we will not retreat, we'll stand our ground, we'll not fear to speak, and so forth and so on. And as a lot of people pointed out at the time, he even got into, that was reported by a lot of different sources, you know, QAnon and conservative, as well as some mainstream media sources, said he's in big trouble with the QAnon people, because a lot of them pointed out that this prayer that he gave, the sevenfold rays and all your archangels, is lifted verbatim from this theosophist, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, is what she called herself. She founded the Church Universal and Triumphant back in 1975. Now, theosophy was something that was this occultic thing that rose up in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And then she started reviving this in 1975. Now, Flynn said, well, I was just reciting, he says, I'm Catholic, and I was just reciting a prayer to St. Michael. But that's not what that is. And that is a verbatim regurgitation of this Church Universal and Triumphant. It's based on the ideas of theosophy, the ideas of ancient wisdom. Their belief system teaches that there are ascended masters speaking to us. It uses a doctrine of the seven rays, chakras, reincarnation, many more mystical things. Not only did Elizabeth Clare Prophet recite almost exactly the same prayer that Flynn did, but there's a video of her doing it, and they've actually put up some videos of his prayer and her prayer so that you can see they're praying exactly the same thing. So he was in a lot of trouble with the crowd, the QAnon people, who were saying this is really a twisted, fake version of Christianity. And so he's been trying to defend himself for the last couple of months since the beginning of September. And so with this one, I guess he just decided that he's going to go in and say, well, that's it. You know, we need to make Christianity the official religion. Headlines from VozWire says, Michael Flynn is frantically trying to defend himself after his QAnon supporters accuse him of Satanism. Another one, Michael Flynn to QAnon believers, I am not a Satanist. Well, the reality is that he's also not a constitutionalist either, is he? And that is not what we want in this country. See, the real problem that we've got, again, they can talk about Trump, but they won't address what happened during the pandemic. Churches that were locked down and churches that many of them never really opened up. Wall Street Journal points out churches changed during the pandemic and many of them are not going back. Here's a reason why that's not a good thing. This is a open letter from a person's name is Edward Klink the Third, and he says he relates an experience that he had as a young child and how important it was for the people that he got to know as a part of the church, as part of really kind of family. He says, what comes to mind when you think about your family? Did you have a mom and dad that loved and cared for you even if they did it imperfectly? Did you have brothers and sisters with whom you played and laughed and sometimes argued? Family is not just a scientific necessity, it is also one of God's most common gifts of grace to the world. No human parents are perfect, and every set of siblings can have issues or conflicts to work through, but every person was created by, biologically, and designed for, relationally, life, and a caring and supportive human family. No child would ever say that they were happier or healthier without a mom or a dad. No sister or brother ever regrets years of mutual friendship, care, and support. Proof of this is the amount of time that we spend talking or hearing about family situations, far from the loving and nurturing where a parent is absent or siblings have strife. My own experience helps to explain this truth. He says, I was probably the only junior high school boy on the basketball team that didn't want to go to the end of the season party. I loved being with my friends, eating pizza together, and playing basketball, but I dreaded being the only boy there without a dad. The party was a father-son event. It involved a scrimmage with dads, and I was the only kid without one. At my mother's prompting, I went to the party, wishing that I had been sick that morning, and the worst possible thing happened, at least to this junior high school kid. Our coach divided the dads into two teams and had their sons join them. I remember that moment as if it happened yesterday. I was a lone boy standing on the sideline without a dad to join on the court. Overwhelmed with shame and embarrassment, I didn't even want to raise my eyes. He said, out of nowhere, I felt a hand on my right shoulder. I still remember the touch, the gentle but firm grasp of a dad's hand. It was Mr. Sherman, the man who managed a grocery store in our town, and who came with his own two sons that night. And I did not look at him. I knew his voice well. I'd been friends with his son since the first grade and spent many hours playing basketball in his driveway. With his hand still on my shoulder, he said, Coach, if it's all right with you, I'd like to play as his father. His point is that the local church is a structure of relationships. And when you look at what has happened this last year, our governments worldwide have been literally hell-bent on destroying the personal relationships that part of this touching story. This was not his father. He didn't have a father. But he had relationships with people that were beyond his immediate family. And that, as much as anything, is what our governments want to make sure we don't follow. And that is why it's very, very important for us to have those structures back. But it's also important for us to understand what true religion is. It's also important for us to understand who God really is. We know there's a God. Everybody knows there's a God. I mean, you have to be pretty rebellious to look at the world and say it was created by a tornado in a junkyard. When you look at something as complicated as DNA, you know there was a creator. Question is, did he speak? And who is he? And when we look at the wokeism that is out there right now, why wokeism is religion, this is an op-ed piece from Michael Schellenberger on Substack, but it truly is a religion. And I've seen Flynn promote that false religion as well. Going back to 2014, as a matter of fact, he had celebrated as part of Pride Month in 2014. This is very, very early. The first openly transgender retired Navy SEAL was a keynote feature and speaker, and he was featured by Flynn as part of the DIA. This is the religion of wokeism. Flynn is somebody who is willing to push anything for an agenda. And when we look at what is happening with the RNC, and we look at what is happening with the Trumps, both Donald and Melania at Mar-a-Lago, pushing the RNC's new Pride Coalition, these people will push anything to advance their political career. He said, as he was presenting the award to this openly transgender retired Navy SEAL, remember, this is 2014. This was not the only Pride event that had been held by General Flynn then. And the headline is, Be Proud of Who You Are, from the military news site. Well, you need to know who you are, and you need to know who God is, and you need to know what your relationships are. And you need to understand who is using you for their own political purposes. That's it for the broadcast. Thank you for listening.
the common man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.